is Thursday.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Still a bit early.
When are you gonna wake up?
Stay calm.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gents. I'm gonna get this thing humming with a few jokes.
Try to stay calm. I'm calm. I'm calm as a cucumber.
All right, joke one. So, that was joke one.
Okay, guys, it's go time. Can we bring it in for a sec?
All right, who's ready to do the chicken dance?
Go time. You ready?
Yeah, just as I planned it.
Right here?
Right here.
Right now?
Right now.
Here we go.
Ready, set,
go.
Jumping on my Facebook page. I'm going to share.
Yeah, just,
I just noticed the Star 88 FM is live.
How do I do that?
Oh. Well, they can see you.
You can kind of.
So I'm on my Facebook page, and I'm going to hit my share button on the Star 88.
I see what you're doing.
Live. I just noticed that the Morning Invasion just went live.
Oh, did you notice that?
Boom.
You know, I've never shared that on my Facebook.
What? Seriously? I tried to every morning.
Of all days, bro. I'm out of cool names, guys. I can't do it. I'm all tapped out.
Oh, welcome to the show, everybody. We're live on a Thursday. Dex and Steve-O.
Heck yeah, man.
609.
I didn't even check. I didn't even check today. I'll look now. Today, it's what? Okay, whoa. Just checking for your shorts, bro.
What is it?
89 degrees. 89. Thunder showers.
No way!
Yeah, some stormy, cool. Scattered thunderstorms today.
All right.
Truly is going to be cool. Going to be cool.
Love it.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it. What's the rest of the week look like? Or weekend, I guess.
90. Which is good. I haven't even checked the weather for my birthday.
It's like monsoon season, right? When did the monsoon
I think
hit?
So. I don't even know.
It should be hitting right about now, right?
93. See, the Weather Channel throws me off, dude. It always goes up a few degrees. This is saying 93. Sunday, 90. Partly cloudy, thunderstorms throughout the rest of the weekend. It was raining on the way into work this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Little sprinkles. Little sprinkles.
Oh, man, we are live. Good morning on Facebook, by the way. If you have a Facebook page, go to Star 88. Like the page. You can watch and listen to the show right there. We have a live line. You can text in at 505-585-LIVE. And you can call us. We love to hear your voice. 338-3700. Phone lines are always open, but just dead. So if you're one of those people that likes to call, pick up that phone, say hi, and contribute to the show. Be a part of the show with us.
So did you tag me with your share?
No, I just said share. I didn't write anything.
What a jerk. I'm making sure that people know. I do a radio show that you can creepily watch here. Shout out to the creepers. What? Let's see. Creepers this morning.
Amy!
Amy's a creeper.
Whoa!
Hey, creeper Amy. Let's see. Shout out to Creeper Elizabeth and Creeper Patrice, Jeremiah, also Jacob and Carl. Creepers.
Creeper.
I love this. I love that you guys are a part of our morning.
Love it.
Good morning, creepers.
Just a little creepy.
Just creeping on the down low. Wait, what? Sorry. Loves
Calvin,
me some
good morning.
DLC.
Love me some TLC. I have this incredible story coming up.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss this story. Man, I almost want to kick it off now.
Well, I mean, just do it. Now you're like, I want to know.
I immediately said, I got this incredible story, and I got so excited to do it. I almost feel like I just want to do it now for everybody. Because this story broke yesterday.
I need a good story, yo.
Well, I didn't share this story yesterday because it's one of those stories. I'm just going to warn you. It's sad.
I know,
but hold on.
No.
This is a crazy,
no,
crazy.
Don't read this.
No. But there's more to it because
I just read the headline and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. This is the headline that I saw yesterday and I didn't add it to the show because I'm like, it's sad. I don't want to do that. The headline is, a devastated mom of three has urged couples to not go to bed angry after she woke up and found her husband dead on the sofa.
Why? Which, by the way, I blame Cynthia. Cynthia, I'm blaming you. She said, just do it!
Just do it!
Share it! It's your fault, Cynthia. Go ahead. Go ahead. Devastate us, bro.
Ashley is 33 years old. She got a
33?
New... She's 33.
Oh, that's... They're, like, young.
Yeah.
Like us.
She got into a heated argument with her husband, Mikey, who's 36. He came home late from a 16-hour shift. She had told him that she was worried he was running himself into the ground and told her husband to sleep on the sofa for the night because they couldn't, they were fighting. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to bed. You sleep on the couch. Well, she woke up the next morning and she discovered that her husband had died.
Why are you sharing this story?
This is what she discovered. This is what's even more tragic. She discovered that her husband was working extra shifts as a carpet cleaner so that he could save money to take her to Prague for their anniversary on July 3rd. So this guy was working extra hours so he could save enough money to take her to Prague. And she got upset with him because he was never home.
Yeah.
She wanted time with her husband. She goes on to say he absolutely loved his family. He wanted his kids to have all the things in life that he didn't, and he worked so hard to make that happen. He worked 16-hour shifts, 7 days a week, just so he could save up enough to take us all to Disney every year. He was so worn out, but he would do anything just to see us smile. So she wakes up, finds him dead on the couch, okay, next morning. She comes out of the bedroom, noticed he looked little blue, discolored, little gray. Walked over, touched him. He was cold. She jumped back, ran out of the room. She started screaming, "Your dad's dead! Your dad's dead!" To her 14-year-old. She ran out into the street screaming.
Why are you sharing this at 6:15 in the
guys,
morning?
Guys, you don't want to change the channel because this story gets crazy coming up. It gets crazy. Okay, so just hang in there.
Well, I have to. I'm stuck with you for 4 hours.
I blacked out. I had to be carried back into the house by neighbors. It felt so surreal. I couldn't process it. It didn't feel like he was dead. I felt like he had left me. When the ambulance came and they confirmed he was dead, I collapsed onto the floor. I was sick. Nothing made sense. I felt so guilty. I was so angry with myself for making him sleep on the sofa. I still find it so hard to think that my last words to him were out of anger. Okay. Update. Here's the headline this morning. A widow whose husband died after she banished him to the sofa has found love again 2 months later with his brother.
Okay. How does this... How?
What?
How does this...
2 months later?
I hate you. Like, I hate your stories.
I saw this morning. I was like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. 2 months later with his brother? So I start digging into this story.
Oh, okay.
It's now been reported that Mrs. Merle is in a relationship with Mikey's brother, Chris, after they became close following her husband's death.
Uh-huh.
Chris and Ashley have been through so much, but they have really been there for each other. It's strange how from something so awful, something good could happen. They are really happy together. They've had so much hate and negativity because of their relationship, but then being together doesn't change how Ashley felt about Mikey.
Uh-huh.
Chris has been such a huge support for Ashley. He's been great with the kids. It's just funny how these things work out. She shared a picture of her and Chris on social media in which they are surrounded by pink hearts. He commented with 3 red hearts below the post. She changed her Facebook status to indicate she's in a relationship with Chris. What?
My favorite is that Chris posted a Facebook tribute to his dead brother Mikey in the form of a photo. Of the word bro, tattooed on his knuckles.
Are you kidding me?
Quick question for you, bud. Where did you get this story?
Yahoo.
Uh-huh. And who is the original source?
Let's see here. That's a good question.
The Sun. The Sun. Isn't that a stupid fake tabloid? Is this real?
This is real.
This can't be real. You're reading the Sun.
This is Yahoo. Just because it's on the Sun doesn't mean that that was the original source. Do you know if that's the original source, sir? Okay. Because it's so unbelievable. Of course the Sun's going to post it. But this is this is according to Yahoo News, which is very
legit. I don't mean
legit.
Like the kid. I don't mean like the child. I mean the S-U-N, like the Sun.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
The tabloid.
It's one of those stories that's so unbelievable.
Because it's right next to the Bat Boy story.
Okay.
You read trash! This isn't real!
This is real life! Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't know their names, and I'm looking them up on Facebook because okay. I don't believe you.
This is real, man. All right. Sure, name sure. is... Okay, Ashley Merle.
Okay.
So, find her. And I think they live in the UK, so... So look for that when you look them up on Facebook.
Okay.
2 months afterwards. So is that possible?
2 months?
I mean, let's...
Totally possible.
Okay.
Totally possible. Yeah.
There's something going on before.
No, that doesn't mean that.
Are you kidding me?
Nah, doesn't mean that.
There had to have been something going on.
Oh, my gosh. You are a tabloid
eater
upper.
There's
got to
be like a full-blown investigation now. I mean, let's figure out how her husband really died. You know what I'm saying?
Gosh. This is everywhere. This is a real story.
This is a real story. I told you. It's unreal.
Man. I mean, is it real?
I hope it's not real. I really, really do.
This is according to The Sun, guys.
Okay, just because this not, they're not the original source.
Uh-huh.
They're just another
wife whose husband died on the sofa when she banished him from the bedroom finds love with his brother just 2 months later. Exclusive.
Isn't that crazy?
The Sun.
You know what, man?
I'm not trusting Yahoo anymore because Yahoo is one of like three people that picked it up from The Sun.
All right. I'm reading the comments here. First one is a bit quick.
Yeah.
Here's one. Terrible. It is 3 years since my husband died, and there's no way I could look at another man. My husband was a once-in-a-lifetime love. Here's one. There's no chance they were not having an affair. To move on so fast proves it.
I can't believe you're even reading these comments. The Sun, people!
Stop
it! The Sun!
No! Is that the original source, The Sun?
Yes.
How do you know it's the original source?
Because it was an exclusive to The Sun. And then when you go to other places, they cite The Sun. What's the other like weird tabloid newspapery thing that's fake? What's that? The Inquirer?
Yeah,
they're the same.
Because it's a crazy story. That's why.
No, because it's a lie.
I hope
to sell people like you, and you started a morning show with it.
Yeah, but look at all of the other legit sites it's on. It's got to be real, man. It's got to be, right?
I mean, maybe. Maybe this is real.
You're telling me someone just made this story up.
That
got actors.
It's on The Sun right next to the story that says, Dad reveals bizarre collection of haunted dolls that terrorizes family by turning on the tumble dryer at night.
Click that link.
No, that's not real, Dex.
Read it to me now.
Not loving it. The headline for this one, okay. Horrified dad, 29 bites into McDonald's Egg McMuffin to find the yolk had turned green.
All right. Get off of there.
Nope. You did this to me.
What are people saying on Facebook? What is the Starmie saying? Is this legit, Starmie?
No, of course it's not.
It's
talk
legit.
About using fake news, somebody said.
Oh, my gosh. It's not fake news yet, guys. Everybody's reporting the story.
However, somebody else said, by the way, the Inquirer actually broke the Monica Bill Clinton scandal back in the day. Touche. Could be real.
See there? Facebook Live, Star 88. Go there, leave a comment, or 585 Live. You can text in.
Jay Marie says, LOL. Okay, Dex. Today's tag should be Downer Thursday.
Downer Thursday.
Sherilyn said they can't put it on the internet if it isn't true, right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. My point.
Jay Marie also says, yes, people lose their minds in grief. 2 months can happen. When my husband died, I was a mess for a couple years.
Yeah, I guess.
David wants to know where if there is anything redeeming about this. Anything. She found true love? No. She found new love? I guess.
Well, you know, like back in the day, if you think in biblical times, when the husband died, who was it that... Who was it? Who was it that...
The brother! Came
the brother! The brother did! That's right!
Don't you try and, like... You got duped!
Now, this is something that we need to talk about this morning, because the Bible does talk about going to bed angry.
It does, actually. Not to let the sun go down on your anger.
And that's really what the story is about, is this wife... She was upset. She got into a fight because her husband was working these crazy hours. And she's like, you sleep on the couch. I'm going to bed. She wakes up the next morning, finds him dead on the couch. Then 2 months later, she's with his brother.
I swear you watched way too many soap operas as a kid.
I did.
You really did.
Love this stuff, guys. Love it.
I
found science has proved that you should never go to bed angry with your partner. Yeah, and it's if you're married, you know that this is true. I mean, you know this is true. You gotta try to work it out before you go to bed. You gotta agree to disagree.
Your husband will wake up dead.
He could. I mean,
like, what is the point of this?
Honestly. Take out the whole she moved on with the brother thing. Because yesterday when I read this story, I was sitting there going, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a reason why you don't go to bed angry. And that's one of them. One of the many reasons. We never know when our heart is just going to stop. Feel my heart.
No. No.
Oh, I ache.
I can't believe I let you go with this.
This is a great story.
It's not a great story.
Don't you ruin my story.
I still blame Cynthia on Facebook Live, who was like, do it!
Yeah. Thank you, Cynthia,
Patrice
for supporting
Patrice said,
me.
My husband and I have lived by that rule from day one. Sometimes we're up till 3, 4 a.m., but we always settle things. Always.
See?
That's good.
You got
that
to.
That is good, because that is very, very important.
I think in those situations, you kind of have to take a step back and go, listen... I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just calm down. Let's go to bed and let's start again tomorrow.
No,
and we'll talk about
No. That's what you're saying. You don't go to bed angry. You got to like work it out.
Yeah,
you gotta resolve
but if you stop and say, listen, come here. I love you. You give her a hug and you say, I love you. I know we're in the middle of this, but I'm super tired and I want to go to sleep.
Okay.
I love you. Well. We'll pick this back up tomorrow.
That is not resolving anything.
Ah!
That's like, dude, I'm nodding off. I've had those times where you know what? I'm just gonna concede the victory to you.
We're gonna work this out.
You know, you're right. You're right. You're always right.
Yep. Yep.
Husbands. Mm-hmm. Husbands. Ah, that's probably not the best.
Right.
I mean.
So there is the redemption in the story. The fact that the tens of people that are listening to the show right now will never, ever go to bed.
Angry.
Angry. Because if they do, their partner will be dead on the couch the next morning. Remember that! Remember it!
That's a terrible moral of the story.
You remember that! Good morning, everybody.
Oh, man. There you go. Somebody agrees with you. Dex is right. You can go to bed with something unresolved, just not angry. Huh?
Uh-huh.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
That's a good point right there.
Well, we got that out of the way.
I love it. I love it. Tom says, I can't wait for your daily devotional to come out, man. Those are just solid.
That's a great idea.
It is.
I love it.
Yep.
All right. We didn't get a chance to talk about this. The Rock.
Dude, yes, we have to talk about
hat
this.
Yes.
Yes.
President of the United States.
What world are we living in? We have to talk about that.
A world where Donald Trump is our president. That's the world we live in. Also, this is going to be the story of the morning. They have created something. Science has created something that could save hundreds of thousands of lives a year. This is amazing. If you want to save the planet, this is the best thing you can do. We'll talk about that. Mayweather-McGregor. Oh, my gosh. It went down. Day two. Ugh, Toronto. Man. We got the highlights. And we'll do it when we come back.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
The president's nominee to lead the FBI is in a confirmation hearing. Christopher Wray asked if anyone at the White House has asked him for his allegiance.
No one asked me for any kind of loyalty oath at any point during this process, and I sure as heck didn't offer one.
Novak Djokovic is the latest men's tennis star to crash out at Wimbledon. Djokovic retired from his quarterfinal match because of injury.
Hundreds of nurses walked off the job in Boston. Tufts Medical Center nurses took the one-day action after more than 15 months of stalled contract talks.
The British city of Manchester is making Ariana Grande an honorary citizen.
Former Brazilian president Luiz Inácio da Silva has been convicted of corruption and money laundering.
A record day on Wall Street. An FDA panel's meeting to decide whether to recommend the first government-approved gene therapy, which uses the body's own immune system to attack cancer.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Thursday, 3 days away from Steve-O Cheater's birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
I totally forgot. I haven't been thinking about it every minute of the day.
Right? Yeah.
I've been totally consumed by that and wondering what people are going to get me because I'm not expecting anything from home because we're broke.
I was at home yesterday just kind of walking through the house wondering what I could re-gift to give to you. This is a good gift.
I'll take it. I will take it. I thought you said this year that our birthday gift to each other was that we're not going to get each other anything.
Really?
You said that.
So you're not going to give me that vacuum for my back?
Oh my gosh. That was your dumb idea and I said, "No, dude, birthdays, we got to get each other something."
No, we don't have to get each other something. Honestly.
Guys, this is the difference in our relationship. You're the original lazy brother on the couch that chokes to death.
What?
Teo's the new brother. We already have gifts for each other. Except we know what they are. Is that weird? Like, I totally got a gift for Teo and then, like, screenshot it and was like, "Happy birthday!" His birthday's in August. And he screenshot one back to me. He was like, "Happy birthday!" And when he comes out here for Waverly, we're going to give each other gifts.
That's weird, man.
It's called friendship.
As much trash as you talk about that guy.
That's true.
I just don't get it.
I mean,
It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah. But anyway, we've never let the sun go down on our anger. Mm. Always worked it out, man.
Good, man.
Always worked it out.
It is 6:37.
High today of 89 degrees. Traffic. Taking a look at the roads. There's some construction happening. There's bridge maintenance work, actually. I-40 West between 2nd Street and 4th Street. That's happening yesterday, all the way through the 14th, from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. So I don't know why I'm reporting it, because it's 6:38.
Oh.
But it's on my map, so I thought, that's new and interesting. Thanks, Department of Transportation. That's your look at traffic.
It's the New Mexico Department of Transportation.
NMDOT, dog!
Hello, everyone.
Yo.
Coming up, 16 movies that Tom Hanks would have maybe done if he had time. Wait till you see the list of movies that Tom Hanks...
I don't know. I always get bummed out when I think about what could have happened.
Like, he would have been in these movies if he had time.
Right.
Got that coming up. We'll talk after 7 o'clock about Dwayne The Rock Johnson for president.
Man. Guys, we broke this how long ago?
Month or two?
No.
I'm terrible with time. I have no idea.
It's been a lot longer than a month or two.
Okay.
Going back to the podcast and finding out when. Because we've been talking about this for a long time. Turns out, might not have been far off. I can't wait to talk about this.
Yeah, it's a crazy time.
Yes, it is.
Really is.
Yes, it is.
585 Live, you want to text into the show?
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Yo, dog, how you feel, dog? How you feel?
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to the news. That was a terrible answer. 24 hours after the Mayweather-McGregor tour started, two men took the stage. One man left.
Really?
No. Oh. They're both alive. In Toronto, they exchanged more fighting words, this time with the help of some props.
28 years of age. I'm getting fight checks and promoter checks. When Floyd was 28, he was on Oscar De La Hoya's undercard. I'm not getting off this mic. I want him to come and take this mic off me.
Turn the pressure up. I don't quit. I don't fold under pressure. I'm the best, and I know I'm the best. I'm 40, but I look 20.
And you act 10.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. I love how different they are, because you have Conor McGregor, who he dresses so
dude
beautiful. He wears these $1,000 suits, and then you have Money Mayweather, who comes out in a tracksuit yesterday, and then, yeah, or 2 days ago, and then yesterday, Mayweather comes out, and he's wearing like a t-shirt and like a hat. He looks like me. He just walks out, and he's got a backpack. What's up with this stupid backpack?
I don't even know, man. It got a little contentious yesterday in the exchange, if you will. Yes, they are on a tour promoting their fight that is coming up in August. But man, oh man, they're doing their job. Because I keep going back and forth. I'm like, I don't know, man. It's going to be a boxing match. And Conor, I love Conor McGregor.
You're buying into the hype, man.
And then I'm like watching this. I'm like, oh, but I got to watch him fight. I want to see Conor.
It's all staged,
I want to see Conor defend his country. Because here's what happened yesterday. One of the most contentious moments of the press conference. Mayweather walked towards Conor, called him a quitter. Ooh. They had this crazy brief exchange. You could tell that Floyd wants McGregor to, like, hit him. Like, he is trying to bait him into something.
But you know that would never happen. This is a billion-dollar fight.
I know.
There's no way that would ever happen.
Well, he tried really hard. After a verbal exchange, he signaled to a person in the crowd with an Irish flag, the symbol of Conor's home country. Mayweather grabbed the flag, draped it over his shoulders, posing and posturing and baiting McGregor to do something about
because
it.
Because that's... You know, if that happened in the UFC, I seriously thought Conor was going to, like, just get up and start running towards him.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting for it. Yeah. If that was in the UFC, you know that he would have done that, you know?
Yeah. Thankfully, instead, McGregor kind of held his cool. He grabbed Mayweather's backpack, brought it to the podium, opens it up, and starts revealing all the contents and mocking Floyd. That's it? That's it? There's about $5,000 in here, he said, pulling out stacks of bills, holding them up in astonishment. He commented on the bag when Mayweather first brought it on the stage, saying, quote, "What are you doing with the school bag on stage? You can't even read."
He's got some great ones, man. He really does. You know it's just going to get better and better every press conference.
They're going to be at the Barclays in New York on Thursday.
I know.
That's the day, yo. I love Barclays. Shout out, Brooklyn.
So they're doing this every day?
Man.
How long is this
tour? I can't wait to see what happens next. Seriously. I don't know. I don't know how long the tour is, but man, don't stop because it's working so far, I think.
Yeah, it is.
You know. We are getting that at my house.
Okay.
I'm serious.
We got to get 10 people.
We do. $10.
Okay. 10 bucks at the door.
I know Clopez is in.
Okay.
His kids count. So, there we go. We're good. Everybody, there's no freebies here. There's
all we need
covered
is that family right
the door.
There. You know what? I don't even have to pay if he brings his family, right? I mean,
yeah.
You're not going to make money off this, are you?
I mean...
End of the night, I look over at Steve-O, he's counting his stacks of cash.
Yeah! Woo! Just like Conor, yo! Just like Conor. It's going to be an interesting fight, that's for sure. Dude, check this out. Moving on, but speaking of fighting, We've seen some things like this before, but not this creepily. There are birds attacking people on a San Francisco sidewalk. People walking on a San Francisco sidewalk have been attacked by birds that are swooping in and pecking at their heads. It's been going on every day for 3 weeks now. Apparently, they've been nesting and protecting their babies.
I walk home this way every day, and for maybe 3 weeks now, just about every time I go by here this time of night, I get plunked in the head.
I was walking to Safeway over here, and I felt a scratch on my head, and I thought it was some meth addict or something, so, you know, attacking me, and I turn around, it was a bird attacking me.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever, has that ever happened to you where you're just walking
down? Dive bombed by a bird? Never.
It's happened to me before.
Never been dive bombed.
Those swallows,
by a bird.
Man, they can get aggressive.
Yeah.
They'll come at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they yell, come at me, bro.
They do not yell, come at me, bro. By the way, the Clopez family, you don't have to cover. I got you, boo. All right. Everybody's good. Okay. But we're still getting the fight. Woo! Now we need 9 more people.
9 more.
But the Clopez family's bringing all their kids, so
okay,
it's going to be a house of 47. I'm going to make $370 on this. Probably not. Okay. Time for 5 random facts.
Already?
Yeah.
And now it's time for...
Random facts.
See if we can do it. Come on, you can do this. I believe in you!
In the country of Liechtenstein, they have won 9 Olympic medals. All of them for alpine skiing. That's a pretty basic one.
Huh.
Moving on. Nope, don't you try and stop me. The day that MJ caught on fire when he was filming a Pepsi commercial was literally the halfway point of his life. It happened 9,282 days after he was born. He died 9,281 days later. That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
It was literally all downhill from there. Am I right? Come on, that was good. All down, because that was the halfway point of his life. And then he descended into madness and MJ-ness.
I don't like to joke about people that have died.
You literally spent the first segment of the morning show talking about a dude who died on the couch.
That was a no joking matter zone.
Okay, all right. Number 3.
Oh.
Speaking of death, if you could only die in sudden accidents and not diseases or old age, the average person would live to be 8,938 years old.
What?
Some people who would really beat the odds would live to their 40,000s.
How do they know that?
Well, because, like, you take the percentage of people who die from freak accidents versus the people who die from natural causes or, like, yeah. A disease, something like... Okay, moving on. There's an old wives' tale that says a pregnant woman who has heartburn is more likely to have a hairy baby. That's actually true! A study out of Johns Hopkins University proved it, and
it's impossible. Steve-O has yet to finish 5 facts before the end.
You need to, like, get the music.
No, man, you
and,
gotta
like,
get it. You gotta get it. There's a time.
But I don't have a
time
in front of me, so I don't know how long I actually have.
We've been doing this for a while now.
That's true.
I feel like
I guess I could probably
figure
it out.
If you didn't have to comment after every fact, we could actually get through them.
A study out of Johns Hopkins University proved that there's a link to women's estrogen levels and hairy babies.
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
Because Jaden, she came out with a lot of hair, and I remember Leslie had heartburn really bad.
Huh.
True story.
It's coyote season. Can I do my last random
fact? Go ahead.
Okay. There's only one confirmed case in history of an adult human being killed by a coyote. A 19-year-old woman was attacked and killed by coyotes in Nova Scotia, Canada in 2009. There's your 5 random facts.
Eric, thank you.
Dude, it is coyote season. Have you noticed this?
What do you mean?
You better not let Vader out of your sight. Does Vader go outside?
Yeah, but there's no way coyotes can get in the backyard. It's pretty, it's locked up really good. No way.
So people say.
I can't even get in the backyard if
Next
I'm
Next thing you know,
outside.
Garfield's lasagna. just being eaten by coyotes.
It's true. It happens all the time to people's dogs.
Yeah, dude, seriously. Like, it really, it's like coyote season.
You got a little dog, yeah.
Reading about that yesterday, and they're like, they're ganging up right now.
And coyotes, I don't know why. They are taking over cities. Like, that's where they live now. Coyotes, they don't live in the wild anymore. No, they live under your porch.
Dude, they're like in my neighborhood, yo.
I know. I came to Calvary, it was a few months ago. I'm walking down the steps as I get to work, and there's a whole group of coyotes just hanging out.
Man.
They love it here.
So here's the thing. Like, people were saying it's coyote season, but I'm like, that doesn't mean we can hunt and kill them, does it?
No, there's no hunting season.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. It's just that time, guys.
Coyotes are super smart. They really are. They're fascinating animals.
Did you ever see Wile E. Coyote in The Roadrunner? He wasn't the most brilliant. He never caught that bird. Actually, that's not true. In one episode, he finally caught the Roadrunner. Did you ever see that episode?
I did.
It was like they were going down the tube and they got small and
then
they
freaked out because like he
ran back.
Actually caught him and yep. He was like, oh my gosh, I got you. What do I do now?
Yeah. Yeah. He had the little sign. Now what? Oh. Gosh, I love old cartoons. An extended 7-minute trailer for Dunkirk is making people think they're in the wrong theater.
A 7-minute trailer?
This is ridiculous. Imagine you're sitting down for Spider-Man Homecoming. You're freaking out because you're finally seeing the greatest Marvel movie in the history of Marvel movies. And Dunkirk starts. But you're like, well, it's just a trailer, right? And then like 5 minutes in, you're like, did I accidentally walk into Dunkirk? Yeah, this is happening right now.
Well, this kind of happened to me when I watched Spider-Man. Did you have the opening scene of that astronaut movie? I can't remember what movie it was.
No.
But I already sat through 15 minutes
right,
of trailers.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to watch Spider-Man. And all of a sudden, the director/creator of this new astronaut film comes on. He's like, check out my new movie. Here's the opening scene. And I'm like, what? And it was like a 5-minute.
That's awesome.
No, it was a terrible opening scene. It was terrible. Why would I want to watch the opening scene to your movie?
Because if it's good, it'll draw people in.
It didn't draw me in.
That's because you like boring stuff.
No, I'll figure out what it is.
I want to
so
know.
Can see.
Now I want to know.
I didn't get it.
Okay.
I didn't get it. Maybe it was because
I went to...
Are you
going with me to Dunkirk?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really want to see that.
Well, we got to sneak.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I thought we already said we were going. Gosh, man.
I'm just saying. You're like a chick, man. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Really? You're the one who's yelling at me?
That's true. Christopher Nolan's new World War II movie, Dunkirk, hits theaters on Friday. We've got to sneak,
wait,
guys. Next Friday. Friday. Sorry.
Like,
next Friday. Not tomorrow. Week from tomorrow. We have a sneak on Monday, and we will definitely be seeing that because Harry Styles, I mean, because it's a Christopher Nolan film, and because of Kenneth Branagh and other notable stars, mostly just Harry Styles, though, his movie hits theaters next Friday. It's being hyped with a trailer that's actually just an entire 7-minute scene of the movie.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. It's not a typical trailer, obviously. It's causing a lot of problems. Apparently people have been going out to see things like Wonder Woman when the trailer for Dunkirk starts playing and then keeps playing and then keeps playing for a whole scene. They get confused and think they're in the wrong movie theater. Some people have actually even left their seats to ask ushers to point them to the correct movie theater. Unfortunately, the 7-minute trailer isn't available online. So if you want to see it, you'll actually have to go see something else and not leave your seat and ask if you're in the wrong theater. I don't know.
Ugh.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I think it looks
like a great
fantastic
movie. But don't put a whole 7-minute scene of the movie in a trailer before the movie you're actually gonna go watch. Like, why do that? Why do that?
I don't know. By the way, I just found out that you can hunt coyotes all day, every day.
Oh, really?
All
you,
the time.
You can what?
According to a member of the Starmie, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Woo! Dude. Birds. Crazy attackers. Okay, moving on. Richard Simmons celebrated his 69th birthday yesterday. His rep said he spent the big day, quote, celebrating with family and friends.
You're disgusting.
Oh.
Or so you'd have us believe.
Oh, just look at you. I think you need a new hairdo. Short, long, straight, a curly. Yes, yeah, you're pumping it up.
Do you really think he's alive?
I do. Remember that dream I had? Still, to this day, that is the most vivid dream that I've ever had in my life.
Okay, but It was a dream, man.
It was, but it was real.
We watched that or listened to that podcast.
I know.
I don't know if he's really around, guys.
Yep. Missing Richard Simmons. It's a podcast.
It was a very interesting podcast.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, he just kind of disappeared. And mm-hmm. so people were like, did he die? Was he kidnapped? What happened? I had this crazy dream where I actually hung out with Richard Simmons. And he locked himself in this bedroom in this mansion.
So weird.
My kids played in the pool while I hung out in his room and we cooked.
I don't know if you just keep telling that dream story.
You're disgusting.
Like, yeah. I feel like it gets weirder.
Yeah, you're pumping it up.
Moving on.
Why? Why? Why?
I don't know why. It's your freaky brain. Wait, what's the question?
The most vivid dream I've ever had, guys. It was in color. I think, you know what? I think Richard Simmons came to me in my dream. That's what I think.
I have no words. Speaking of no words, I'm kind of freaking out by this story. Listen, guys, listen. Your face, it's a sacred place. It is not a tattoo space.
Oh, I forgot our black mask.
So let's...
I'll get it. I'll buy some today.
I'm glad you forgot it, though, because speaking of not letting the sun go down on your anger, Chrissy.
Ooh.
I've tried to get you to do one of those face mask things forever, and you won't. And then Dex mentions it. Now you're going to do one. I never like wash my face or do anything. She's like, oh, you have like trees. You have like blackheads. You do the blah, blah, blah.
Here,
blah, blah.
Try this. Just, just rub this black ointment all over your face and then peel it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, and because my wife always gets that stuff, and so
we're doing it.
I'm going to bring it in so we can peel it on the air because
it
kind of hurts.
Face mask Friday, guys.
It kind of hurts when you peel
face
it off.
Face mask Friday.
All right, I got to leave.
Don't you fail me. This is going to be huge. We're going to make Sam Swan do it too.
Okay. I'm sure Sam would love it.
Probably. Dude, check this out. Reason number 17, why not to touch your face with weird things? And I said that, and now all of a sudden we're going to do a face mask tomorrow, and it makes me nervous. Check it out. A dude got a temporary Mike Tyson henna face tattoo, only it burned his face and left a permanent scar. This is awful, dude. I've never gotten that like henna junk.
I haven't either.
Yeah, no, because it's not for dudes.
See, you don't know how they put that on? How do they do that?
I don't know, dude. But if you ever have this insatiable desire to just, I don't know, lose all your friends, get a henna tattoo. Check it out. Oh, man, you got to stay as far away from black henna as you can. Unlike the natural plant-based brown henna commonly used, black henna is just black hair dye containing a synthetic called paraflanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanaman don't believe us? Ask James Coley. He was vacationing in Greece. He paid a little over $10 to get a replica of Mike Tyson's infamous tribal face tattoo.
Are you thick?
With black henna. Wasn't a bad job by the tattoo artist. By the tattoo artist.
I know. When I saw the picture, I couldn't believe it. It is full on. It's like a brand of Mike Tyson's tattoo on his face. It's like someone branded him.
Dude, he has a Mike Tyson face tattoo branded on his head forever.
Yeah. Forever.
He posted a side-by-side.
It actually looks pretty tough.
Yeah. Dude, the funny thing is he doesn't seem that bummed out by it. Said, got a $10 Mike Tyson henna tattoo in Greece. It's only gone and scarred my face for the next 3 to 5 years.
Sweet.
Oh, my gosh. People immediately started chiming in with pictures of the things that they randomly got.
Is that what?
Yeah. Don't worry, bud. You're not the only one whose henna tattoo ruined your life.
Wow.
Check it out. Yeah. People chiming in with
their
photos.
Stay
away
from the black henna?
Yeah, stay away from it. It will burn your skin and scar you. You heard it here first. Black henna will scar you. Just ask Mike Tyson face tattoo, dude. Oh, my gosh. What a dumb.
He needs to never tell anybody that story.
He's got it on his face, dude. It's not like
he needs to change the story. He needs to change it. Because you can't be the guy that says, I got a henna tattoo on my face and it branded me.
gosh.
It like soaked in and now
I just can't even imagine.
He's got to come up with a better story than that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's a birthmark. That's what I'd say. And it just happens to look like Mike Tyson's tattoo.
Oh. Oh.
Some crazy headlines today, man.
People are dumb, man.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about this new invention that could save hundreds of thousands of lives. Also, Dwayne The Rock Johnson for president? The Royal Foundry. All we have... Ooh, what is that noise? Oh, it's just Steve-O eating.
Mm, you're so hungry.
Yeah, that's gross, bro. That's great. Thank you. Oh, we just lost all of our Facebook Live people.
Sorry. I'm just...
So hungry today. That's second breakfast.
Welcome to the show, Dex, Steve-O, Morning Invasion, 712.
High today of 89 degrees. Traffic. Sorry, I just got a little cherry there. Never mind. Okay. Not a lot going on, actually. Pretty normal today. Of course, don't forget, all the way through October 27th, at Paseo del Norte, right at the interchange on I-25, exit 232. There's going to have various shoulder closures and lane restrictions for some landscape maintenance. And again, that's happening until late October. Nothing else really going on. Let's look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the President of the United States.
If you smell!
Whoa!
What, The Rock is cooking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The President of the United States.
Yeah!
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
This is the wrong music. They really need his WWE intro.
Yeah, right? Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can. Because I think it's going to happen. I know this sounds crazy, but guys, we joked about this a couple months ago. I'm calling it right now.
You going to call it?
3 years? Oh, it's happening. I seriously think it's happening.
Yeah, well,
it's going to happen.
He's hinted, you know, that he would put his name in the hat to run for president.
Yeah.
But a campaign committee has formally filed to draft the actor for president. Run The Rock 2020.
This is real, guys.
Was filed on the Moana actor's behalf with the Federal Election Committee on Sunday. That's crazy. So I came up with a list of these. You're going to love these. You are going to love these.
I'll take it.
A list of potential campaign slogans, okay? What do you think of this one? Keep your Glock, vote for The Rock.
Okay.
It's a good one.
he's not like a gun control dude? How do you know?
I don't know anything about what he wants. What he wants to. Okay. How about this one? We need Fast and Furious, not Fat and Furious. Will I get in trouble for that one?
I mean, it depends who he's running against. Oh, wait. Our president.
Here's another slogan I came up with. 5 words. Shirtless State of the Unions. Or maybe this one. I don't know if I can say that one.
That one's amazing.
It's time to Dwayne the Swan.
Yes. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That's a good one. That was a, that one's it's probably time my to favorite.
Dwayne the Swamp.
Dwayne that Swamp.
Vote for The Rock, or he'll do Baywatch 2.
Okay, that's not a.
You better vote, or he'll do Baywatch 2. That's a great campaign slogan. Rock the vote. Rock the vote. Get it? Because his name's The Rock? Get it? Rock the vote. No? Anyone? Here's another one. If he can make G.I. Joe great, think what he can do for America!
He did make G.I. Joe great.
He did.
Gosh,
he took G.I. Joe
so
to another
fun,
level.
Man. It was a lot of fun.
Make America Smell is cooking again.
Okay.
It's a great slogan.
No, that is so dumb. That is hilarious.
Whatever your ethnicity is, he probably is too.
Vote The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson, he'll create jobs, just not for Washington, D.C., criminal defense lawyers.
Oh.
These are all great, guys. I love every bit about him putting his name in the hat because, well, he can.
I love this one from a member of the Starmie.
Yes.
What can I say except, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah!
You're welcome.
See?
I watched the movie.
Yeah! But did you skip the music?
No.
You skipped some of the music. So how do you even know that song?
I did not skip the music. I would never do that.
Somebody said, let the rock lead the flock. Yeah!
Is hey, there an editor come on. What can I say except you're welcome.
See? I'm a fan. Dude, Starmie
gosh,
is hilarious.
So
send in your slogans for... Rock the Rock.
Guys, this
campaign.
Is real, and I'm seriously, I'm telling you right now, I really seriously think he has a shot at winning.
Yeah, I mean.
No, but
yeah.
Hear those words, The Rock.
Hear these words, Donald Trump.
I know.
See, that's what's so crazy about it is whenever people are like, The Rock, really? And then
dude,
you're like, wait, what?
Wait, our president's Donald Trump. In May, he told GQ that it was possible. We talked about this. Like, there was a real possibility, maybe, and then he joked about it on Saturday Night Live with Tom Hanks as his running mate.
Here's what's crazy about this, because not only did The Rock, like, a light bulb go on in his head, but we had heard that other actors had that same light bulb
right.
go off, because after Donald Trump became our president, they all were like, well,
if he
can do it.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
But the one thing with, I mean, quote, other actors, what other actor is seriously as popular, as likable? I don't know anybody. Like, can you think of anybody in your life who's like, I don't really like The Rock?
No.
Seriously?
No. That's it's pretty easy to answer. No. I mean, he's... I follow him on Instagram, and the things he posts every day are inspirational, encouraging. He
needs John Cena as his running mate. Please, John Cena.
Oh, man.
I love you, John Cena. John Cena's a great dude.
He seems like he is just a really solid guy, you know?
Get
American.
It? Because he's The Rock. He's a really solid guy.
Okay.
Somebody said Jason Momoa.
Jason
Momoa, he's pretty likable too.
Well,
he's not as well known.
No, not at all.
He will be after Aquaman and Justice League, but I don't think he's...
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm a fan, but no. Not even same caliber as The Rock.
Right. Sherilyn said, what about actor Ronald Reagan? Not unheard of.
Yeah, was Ronald Reagan a pretty big actor though?
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't know how big of an actor
he
was.
Yes.
Like Rock status? Like he was one of the top?
Well, I mean... At the time, he was, a top actor.
He was like the Tom Hanks of his time?
Maybe.
Oh.
Very likable dude. Gosh.
You love Ronald Reagan?
I do, actually. I was a little kid, so it's like, but then you look back at history and policies, and Yep. My mom was an air traffic controller during the time where there was like this crazy strike and when Ronald Reagan was president. And there are some really interesting things that, yeah. Anyways, not getting into that. Yeah. What happened to Clint Eastwood for president, said Sherilyn. It's not unheard of.
He's in his 90s?
He's like up there.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood is in his 90s.
So I said, dude, Tom Hanks. They really did joke about The Rock and Tom Hanks running together.
Yeah.
Somebody said, could you imagine The Rock going in a meeting with the Russian president or any other foreign leader talking to
right?
Talk about that intimidation factor.
Seriously.
Somebody said, I love The Rock and hate when people make fun of my name. Signed, Letharja. Oh. Somebody said, get back to a nation of domination.
Oh!
That was good. That was really good, WWE fan.
What's your campaign slogan for The Rock, Starmie? 585 Live.
I mean, I feel like The Rock sells himself. I don't know anything about his policies, but
nobody
I
does.
Immediately thought this was the best.
Nobody knows anything. I know. This is what I do know. I know that
oh, man.
He's for guns, which, okay, that's a great thing. He
is The Rock.
He's very healthy, so he wants to see America healthy.
He put the smackdown on Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes.
You
know, he can go to war. We know that. I mean, he's one of the greatest action stars of our time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's seen it all, man. Done it all. It's pretty incredible. JJ says there's only one rock. That other guy is a pebble. That's good.
All right. Okay.
I mean,
not bad.
Not bad.
That's more of like a Conor McGregor smack talk. But it's really good. It's really good. We're talking about presidential slogans here. It's for the nation.
I don't know, man. I think keep your Glock, vote for The Rock is probably the best.
I still like Rock.
Think about it. Keep your Glock.
The vote.
Everybody doesn't want.
No, that's
their guns
divided.
Taken away. No way,
not
man.
Everybody.
Hey, keep your
Maybe
Glock.
Everybody we know, but not everybody. That's divisive, yo.
You're right.
It's time, man.
What do you got?
Remember the Stormy said, hey, guys, sad news. They had to put their sweet Doberman Diesel down.
Oh.
But they're getting a new little boy puppy, and they need a cool new name. So they're wondering if Stormy would be down to help them name their new puppy.
The Rock.
That's hilarious. He was thinking Drax the Destroyer, and I think that's perfect.
That's pretty cool.
I'm like, don't even go, because I have a dog named Rocket, no, Rocket Raccoon. They could be part of the Guardians of the Galaxy together. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said, Rock me Amadeus. No, gosh. Why hasn't anybody done the like very obvious, we will rock you?
Are you kidding me with that?
Oh, sponsored by Chevy, like The Rock.
Oh, my gosh. I got one.
Okay.
The Rock. Black is the new orange. Okay, let's scrap that one. Said it out loud, and it... Yeah. All right, here's one. His version of gun control is wearing sleeves.
Okay. Guys, The Rock! And to be fair, he did not put in for this. He didn't put in the bid yet. But on his behalf, a group has filed the paperwork, so he can... Oh, man. Formally... Oh, this is crazy. This is crazy.
No, it's not.
Welcome to the world we live in.
It's just, it's a crazy time we live in.
Katrina really says, throw the rock in the White House. Huh? Throwing. Okay. For the Christian vote, I will stand on a solid rock.
Oh, man.
I do love Rock the Vote, man. I do love that.
I would.
That's hilarious.
I'm curious to see, you know, what religion is he? It is, you know, where's his faith at? I've never heard anything about that.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. That's a very good question. Because, now I'm going to go find out if he's ever even really, like, talked about stuff like that.
585 Live if you want to text into the show, or we're on Facebook Live at Star88 and go watch and listen to the show. Phone lines are open as well, 338-3700. If you'd like to be a part of the show with us, if you have a good campaign slogan for The Rock, I think we've pretty much we've got all of them.
Those are all great.
Now we just need to send them into the
Rock. I mean, come on, man. See. He's got the Dwayne Johnson Rock Foundation. It's charity working with at-risk and terminally ill children.
Love that.
He's donated millions and millions and millions of dollars.
You kind of sounded like him right there.
I'm not going to lie. I've always been a huge fan of The Rock. I was, you know, wrestling and whatnot. And stuff.
You know what's so weird is to look at pictures of The Rock when he first started and how his image changed so much. Because he looked like, wasn't he kind of like an Elvis impersonator when he first started?
He was, still does the eyebrow.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, have we talked on air about the trailer for Jumanji and how dope that looks?
That looks so good, guys. If you haven't seen the trailer to the new Jumanji.
Oh, man. When they announced that, it was like, no, no, you can never remake. Okay, you know what? That's pretty good. Yeah. I like this. I'm going to go see this a lot.
Totally different spin on the movie Jumanji. I love
man.
It. It's going to be great.
Man, somebody said perfect name for a dog. My second favorite dog, Drax the Destroyer. Before going to war, The Rock said, quote, can you smell what America is cooking?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. We can do better.
Somebody said, you can't compare The Rock to Donald Trump. Trump will destroy him at the polls. Vote for The Rock if you want to hit rock bottom.
Okay.
America, get ready to rock steady. I like that one, actually.
That's not bad.
That one's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good. On Dwayne, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's a little blasphemous, yeah. maybe. Just a little.
Okay.
Somebody said, I hit rock bottom. Wait.
Okay. All right. These are terrible. Thank you. And we're starting to go downhill from here. All right. Thank you. We'll keep you updated on The Rock and...
Dropping the people's elbow, one terrorist at a time.
Oh! Committee files to draft Dwayne Johnson for president. Run the Rock 2020 was filed.
Dude, that's just crazy. Crazy. In three, could you imagine? In 3 years, we could be talking about this.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. What do we got? Coming up, you don't want to miss this new invention that could save hundreds of thousands of lives a year. This is incredible. It's big stuff.
By the way, shout out to the member of the Starmie who just chimed in with Dwayne's World. Party time. Excellent. Come on, man. He could get Dana Carvey as his running mate. Just dressed like Garth all the time. He has to go in there. That's not... He's not Canadian, though.
Okay.
Amer-rock.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
The president's nominee to lead the FBI is in a confirmation hearing. Christopher Wray asked if anyone at the White House has asked him for his allegiance.
No one asked me for any kind of loyalty oath at any point during this process, and I sure as heck didn't offer one.
Novak Djokovic is the latest men's tennis star to crash out at Wimbledon. Djokovic retired from his quarterfinal match because of injury.
Hundreds of nurses walked off the job in Boston. Tufts Medical Center nurses took the one-day action after more than 15 months of stalled contract talks.
The British city of Manchester is making Ariana Grande an honorary citizen.
Former Brazilian President Luiz Inácio da Silva has been convicted of corruption and money laundering.
A record day on Wall Street.
An FDA panel's meeting to decide whether to recommend the first government-approved gene therapy, which uses the body's own immune system to attack cancer.
Before we continue with our little radio program, we would like to give a big shout out to somebody who we miss talking to. We miss his voice very much.
His name? Teo.
No.
His name? Michael Strahan.
No. David Levin!
Yeah!
Our boy David!
Hey, guys.
Morning, David.
Morning, buddy.
Shout out to David
in New York.
He's one of our booking agents. He books all the wonderful celebrities, which been kind of slow this summer. It's usually really slow during the summer.
Yeah, but man! We David? Didn't get anything for tomorrow. And I'm like, bro, David, if you have any pull with that one. Tomorrow? Come on.
Just say it, Steve-O.
I'll tell you, because if we get that interview tomorrow.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Let me pull this up real quick. Guys, this could be
my favorite interview of all time. It really, I think, would be the biggest interview ever all time that we've gotten so far. Seriously.
I had it in here.
David, 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 David. Make it happen.
I thought I did. Never mind.
I sent so many emails. I'm just going to say, like, if we get this interview tomorrow, it would be a good day.
Ice Cube.
Oh, my gosh! Come on!
Ice Cube could possibly be on the show tomorrow.
Why you got to tease know? That? Why
I don't know, man. It's not confirmed. It's not confirmed. We did put I don't
in
know.
For it. We did. I love how we both separately put in for that, like, immediately. Like, oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, we want this.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But that would be pretty cool because he's promoting that three-on-three basketball tournament
and the 25th
show.
Anniversary of Death Certificate. Yo!
Yo! Today is a good day.
Okay, why you gonna...
Yeah, Ice Cube tomorrow. Come on, guys.
I want to talk to him about his 3-on-3 basketball thing because I could be like, is it true that you messed around and got a triple-double? Because you like basketball.
David, don't book him. If you have any pull, just back up. Just let it go.
Oh, it'd be so dope. Dude, Boys in the Hood was one of the first movies I saw at the movie theater.
I know. Your mom took you.
Yeah. I want to talk about this. He played Doughboy. It was a very pivotal role and a very, very, very important movie in my young life. Taught me everything I knew about Compton and the hood.
Man, your mom took you to see Boys in the Hood.
She really did.
And Belle Biv DeVoe. You might have one of the greatest moms ever.
I think I do. She's coming to town for my birthday.
Well, my mom's the
coolest. This is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. My mom is coming into town for my birthday. But as it turns out, Luke is playing in the state tournament right now, and he has a game Sunday, which is my birthday. But Chrissy and I are also doing guest worship at a church this Sunday with, like, Clopez and DJ Bossman Dan on drums, like, getting the band together, and we're, like, doing this big worship thing. And she was like, sweetheart, I love you, but I'm not going to miss my grandson play baseball. She loves watching Luke play baseball. And I was like,
it's a good grandma right there.
But it's my birthday, Mom.
Wow. No.
It's my birthday.
No. Luke is way more important.
Okay.
Ugh. You just confirmed, though, that you have one of the greatest moms ever.
I mean, I really do. She really did take me to it. And I'm not even being funny. That movie came out, and my mom was like, hey, Steven, now there's some very serious subject matter
what
in this movie.
Why did she take you to that movie? Just because she knew that you would like it, or did
she
want to see it?
I'm not even being funny right now. This is my sweet little Baptist mama. We had recently moved to Las Vegas, New Mexico. And there was
she wanted to prepare you?
I'm not even being funny.
Wow.
We moved to Las Vegas, New Mexico. And she was like, it was like gangs.
Yeah.
And it was not.
That's like real life.
We lived in West Las Vegas. And I'm like this little white dude. And like, we seriously like fought all the time.
Well, you're half Hispanic, man.
Yeah. That doesn't look like it. And it doesn't matter when you look like you do. And so Scotty and I would get into fights all freaking time, man. It was awful. And so my mom seriously. Yeah.
Oh, man. You
didn't even see it coming. Seriously took me to see that movie. And she was just like, this is now, I'm not saying that I agree with all of the content. I'm just saying this is a very realistic portrayal.
You. Man, that's pretty cool.
And I was just like, watching this movie. Because do you remember that movie?
Yeah. Yeah. That was,
Cuba Gooding Jr., Lawrence Fishburne, Ice Cube.
Very bloody. I mean, it was
Ricky, man.
A real look at what it's like on the streets.
I'm
going to
go home and watch Boys in the Hood today. Yeah, so she seriously made me watch that movie, and I was just like,
Did you feel like after you watched the movie, though, you were prepared, or were you?
No. Well, no? I mean, because there were two characters in that film. There's the Cuba Gooding Jr. character, who was like the good kid that was living with his father, and then there was like the Ice Cube who grew up in the ghetto, like, right?
Yeah.
And you see the choices that are made, and it's like you could make this choice, but you have a life ahead of you. And that was really what it was about. It was like, you're only here for a short time. You do well, and then you're going to go off to NIMI, to military school in Roswell. So you're just, but you have to make the right choices. And it's this pivotal season in your life, and you need to, yeah. I mean, she could have also like taken me to church and given me scripture or whatever, but like, you know, boys in the hood. Boys in the hood.
And Bel Biv Deva.
It's driving Steve out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find.
Okay. Good stuff. Ice Cube possibly tomorrow on the show, but don't hold your breath, guys. It might not happen. Might not happen.
I got to even tease it. No, I'm checking my email every 3 minutes.
Usually today we'll get the email if we end up getting it. But all right, I got to talk about this latest invention. Researchers in Australia, they've been working on a new type of banana that could save hundreds of thousands of lives every year. Check this out. They crossbred two types of bananas. One is a normal Cavendish banana, which is what you're used to seeing in grocery stores. The other is a smaller type from New Guinea that's extremely high in vitamin A. And that's important because up to 750,000 children die every year from a vitamin A deficiency, mostly in Africa.
Gosh.
So the new bananas are bigger, easier to grow, and packed with way more vitamin A than the kind of bananas that we eat, or they eat in Uganda right now. The weird part is all that vitamin A makes the banana orange. The peel is slightly orange instead of yellow, and the part you eat is orange too. So the next step is trying to grow them on a massive scale in Africa. The researchers still have another 6 years of red tape to get through, but it's looking pretty good right now. And if you're wondering who's behind the whole thing, most of the funding for the study has come from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Pretty really?
Cool. Yep. Bill Gates. Yep. He does so much, man. He gives away his fortune every year. All of it. All his money.
I mean, really all of it, though?
Mm-hmm.
Gives it all back. How does he pay his taxes?
Do you not know how it works, man?
Well, I mean, if he owns his home, he's still probably got property tax on his giant mansion, right? So, feel like...
Investments, bro!
Okay, well,
I'm sorry. Jeez, look at these orange bananas,
like,
dude.
Saying things, and I'm like, I don't know
look at these
real.
Things.
They look like Cheetos.
No, they do.
They look like Cheetos, giant Cheeto cheese puffs.
Yeah. They do. They're orange bananas, and they're packed with vitamin A.
Oh, that is amazing, huh?
Yeah, that's I know they have a few other products that I've been hearing about. They've created this it's kind of like a protein bar and it's packed with all of your vitamins, everything that you survive for like three meals in one bar, like one tiny bar. And they're trying to make it to where they can give those bars to the people
that
makes
sense
in Africa or wherever who needs it,
you know in those places where they need food,
you know
over there.
Can't think of another country really that's like Africa. Can you?
Well, like there's places in South America, I mean,
like Africa.
Yeah, well, I mean, or I thought of like the dump in Mexico City. What is that dump called? Like the trash, like trash where people city. Seriously like live. Is it a trash city?
Pallet city.
Pallet. It really is.
Well, it's called the Pallet City.
Yeah, but what's it really called?
It's Guyana.
I don't remember. Just saying, there are other places you could think of.
I don't think you're right. Be pretty cool though. If you could, I would eat one bar and then I'd have all of my nutrition for one day.
Yeah. Remember the Stormy? The fact that we were just talking about how white I look. Just said I don't look white. I'm Cheech Marin with the full head of hair. I don't know how to take that. Which, by the way, did you see the billboard Cheech and Chong are coming?
No. They're still doing it, man.
Yeah, dude. Jeez. I'm like, that's going to be me and Dex someday.
Yeah. I don't know.
Me in our 70s.
Just
Dave's not here.
Probably won't live that long.
No? Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Dude, remember the Stormy chimed in to let us in on just probably the best sentence of all time, and I'm really mad at myself that I didn't think of this. Orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
It's
driving Steve out of my mind.
Okay. I mean, that was phenomenal.
Gosh.
How do we not think of
I
that?
I don't know. That was good, though, Starmy. Good job. Good job. 585 Live if you want to text in, or we're on Facebook
Somebody
Live.
Somebody said Antarctica. They need food in Antarctica.
Do they?
I mean,
I feel like there's food for the people that live there. I think it's the polar bears that need the food.
You feel like there's food?
Yeah.
In Antarctica?
Yeah, seals, bro. Fish. You ever been ice fishing before?
I love seal.
Baby, I can bear you to a kiss from a road I wanna howl. You're so embarrassing.
I just bust out in song. Let's go karaokeing again.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. Let's have a Starmy karaoke night.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Okay.
We were just talking about The Rock and how he could possibly be running for the next president of the United States.
Yeah. Somebody chimed in earlier, by the way, Michael, and I thought it was so hilarious. He said, I just want him to win and do all of his speeches in the third person like he used to on the WWE. The president is very excited to be there, and the president wants to thank all of his voters. Oh, man, that would be amazing. He had the best WWE speeches.
He would have epic speeches.
He would! Seriously, State of the Union? Oh,
seriously.
Come on!
You thought Obama was a good speaker? The Rock?
Yeah.
Whew.
Get on that mic. He didn't even need a teleprompter in the WWE. Like, he just... Oh.
He didn't need a teleprompter in the WWE.
For all of the millions and millions of fans watching around the world, welcome to the State of the Union Address. Ho! Please win.
You're staring at a demigod. What can I say except you're welcome?
You're welcome, guys. We broke the news first. Months ago. And now it's real. The Rock's going to run for president. All right. Speaking of running for office, this is crazy. This is happening, guys. Welcome to our society where we get random updates of people running for office, and it's like people from our childhood. Up next, you know, the U.S. Senate race.
Ba with the ba da bang da bang diggy 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 said the boogie just up jump the boogie.
My name is Keith.
I could just go. This is real life, man.
That's real
Kid
life.
Kid Rock. Maybe you just have to have like Rock in the name of your title. If you have the Rock of any kind, you're running for something. Well, a year ago we would have laughed it off and said there is no way this is real life. But welcome to America, 2017. Welcome to the post. Trump era. Kid Rock posted a photo yesterday of a campaign yard sign that says Kid Rock for U.S. Senate.
Wow.
And here's the deal. This is real.
USA!
He talked about it before. Back in February, his name supposedly got tossed around at a Republican Party convention in his home state of Michigan. Along with the photo, he wrote, I have a ton of emails and texts asking if this website is real. He linked to the site, kidrockforsenate.com, and said, the answer is an absolute yes.
Wow. Yeah, everything that I've ever heard about Kid Rock as a human being, as a person,
yeah,
he's
in real life
such a great guy.
Did you not meet him at Edgefest?
No, I wasn't here. I came the year after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, 2 years
back. I guess I've been at Edgefest longer than you then. Because yeah, I was at that Edgefest.
My first one was Edgefest 8 with POD.
Really?
So it was.
I was at that Edgefest.
The year before.
That was your first Edgefest?
That was my very first. And the year before was Rammstein.
Yeah.
And then the year before that was Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock, right?
Yeah, Fuel was on that one. I think Smash Mouth played on that one randomly.
That would have been a great one.
Somebody wants to know me. Yeah, dude. But it was Kid Rock with the midget guy before he passed away. What was his name? Thank you, Joe C.
Rest in peace, buddy.
Sorry.
I've seen Kid Rock before up in Montana. And wow, he's a
dude,
great performer.
Dude, I like mocked because it was like, come on, dude. He had that like, I mean, persona of this like kind of white trash, whatever. Yeah. And I went and saw that Edgefest and was
Yeah.
Blown away because it was like, dang, he puts on a show.
And he's a really, really good guy.
That's all we've heard. Well, he's talked about it before, and it looks like it's absolutely real. The website is legit. So far, there's just merchandise you can buy, like a Kid Rock for U.S. Senate t-shirt, a hat, a yard sign, bumper stickers, which really matters, actually, because he makes at least $5,000 off that stuff. He technically has 15 days to register his campaign with the Federal Election Commission. This is according to the Washington Post, because he hasn't done that yet. If he's on the ballot next year, he'd be running against Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow. Stabenow? I don't know. Her response to the news was, quote, "I concede he is better at playing the guitar, and I'll keep doing what I do best, which is fighting for Michigan." Oh, snap! Oh, snap! Gloves off! Now, this could just be an elaborate promotion for an upcoming album, which actually may be patriotic-themed. However, right now, his political merch site is being hosted by Warner Brothers Music, so it's kind of a tip-off that this all very well may be music-related. However,
I don't think so, man, because he's always been very political. Like, he really cares about the country.
A member of the Star Army just chimed in on the live line and said, imagine if they both won. We would have President The Rock.
Well, I'm packing up my bags and I'm heading out west.
And Senator Rock. Senator Kid Rock. President and Senator Rock? I don't know, man. Somebody said I have a feeling both of their campaigns will have a rocky start.
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
Terrible.
Speaking of people running.
Yeah.
We didn't really mention this, but our boy, our best friend.
We got to talk about this.
Steve Pierce, you know, the guy who comes all the time. Yeah. Crashes our morning show all the time.
On the huge.
Yeah. Guess what he's up to these days.
What? What's he doing? He hasn't been in a few days.
Oh, he wants to run for governor.
Yeah, this is real,
actually. Mexico.
Not wants to. He actually announced his campaign for governor. It's happening. Yep. Why hasn't he come on the show to talk about this?
I told you, man, as soon as you even called him out and you said, hey, if you ever decide that you're going to run for governor and you make it all the way, you still going to come in on the morning show? And he was like,
absolutely.
You guys are my best friends.
You know what the funny thing is, though? Like, we've dealt with many politicians in our time in radio and in, you know, the city. That dude is always around and always like, he's never lied. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's never been like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to say this. Just got bing, bang. Yeah, right. I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, he'll show up when we don't even have him booked and just be like, hey, guys, I'm in town. So it very well could be.
No, it's true. It's very true. So, man, we've known him for a while now.
Yeah.
And I think he could do some really, really great things as governor.
It'll be interesting. It'll be very, very interesting. Obviously, our current governor is term limited and is going to leave office at the end of 2018. And Representative Steve Pierce, a Republican who has represented New Mexico and what district? What is it? The second congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing that for many, many years.
12 years. So,
12 years. Yeah. Running for governor. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. We need to get him in here. Need to talk to him. Of course, if we do that, now it'll be really weird because normally he's not like selling anything or running for anything, and it's just been him kicking it with us. And now it's like, he's running for governor. He's going to get all like, hey, vote for me.
Well, that's when we just kind of make fun of him.
And we'll probably, yeah. We're close enough that we can.
We can.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm excited to talk to him at the very least. Him and Ice Cube.
Gosh.
Come on Friday.
It's going to be fun. All right, we got to take a break. We have a letter on the way titled, Was I Rude? Find out what that means. Also, 16 movies that Tom Hanks would have maybe done if he had time. The list of movies is crazy. And you want to save the planet? According to this, well, it's the best thing you can do. We'll find out what that is.
Shout out to all of the very clever Starmie members who have sent in things for Kid Rock, for The Rock. I've got more presidential campaign things.
Yeah. 585 Live if you want to text into the show. We're on Facebook Live right now at Star88. Go like the page. Hit that share button if you're on Facebook Live. You do it! Javi, looking at you. Francis.
Did you just call him Javi?
Yep.
That's my boy Javier.
No, Javi.
Javi.
We'll be right back. Guys, I was just telling Steve off the air how much I love Netflix. I mean, I love Netflix.
He does.
We just watched this new trailer to a new TV series that's coming out called Ozark. And I was just pumped up watching the trailer. And I told Steve-O, I'm getting a Netflix tattoo.
That is the dumbest thing like, he's ever said.
You know, you would never have to worry about anybody else getting the same tattoo as you if you got the Netflix logo on your body.
Yeah.
Like, would I just get, like, the N, like, the red N, or would I get, like, the full Netflix?
Okay. Like, I mean, what do you think, man? It is kind of cool because it does that, like...
I could get it across my back. Yeah. You know, like, right across my back.
Or, like, dude, you should do it across... Like, that would actually be hilarious.
Netflix? I'm doing it! I'm doing it. But first, I'm going to email Netflix and just ask them how much will they pay me if I...
That's actually
Netflix.
Not a terrible idea.
Right.
That's actually a really smart idea.
Right. And if you're a business out there and you would like to sponsor My Belly.
Okay. Question. You call Netflix and you're like, hey.
Hey, guys.
How much will you guys pay me to tattoo Netflix across my stomach like cool old English New Mexico style? And they say, we won't give you any money, but we'll give you free Netflix for life.
I would never have to pay for Netflix again.
Would you do it?
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
Dude, it's like $8 a month.
$9.99 is
okay,
what I pay.
Whatever. You would
for
get a
life?
Tattoo.
Oh, man.
On your body of a stupid company so you don't have to pay like $10 a month.
I'd be saving so much money.
Oh, my God.
I'd do it. I do it, guys. Yeah! I'm totally joking. No, no way.
Yeah, there's no way.
No way.
Plus, oh,
I feel like,
man.
I feel like the stomach would be a terrible place to get the tattoo because they would want me to promote it. So
yeah.
I'd get it like right here. On my
People
arm.
Are like thinking you're serious, but why though? Like why?
But what? No, guys, but, like, I'm not why? Serious. Come on.
Why though?
Well, it depends. I mean, honestly, there is a price. I would get Netflix tattooed on my body for a price. And my price would probably be $5,000.
Yeah. Gosh, that's terrible. That is so dumb. Somebody said you should get the N for nerd. Yeah. Another member of Starmie is just reminiscing with me about that Edge Fest and how amazing it was. The morning show at the time was the best morning show in town ever. Moxie and Kip Missile.
Okay. Well. Wow.
Miss you, Kip Missile.
You know what? I know both of them. They're great people.
I miss you, Kip Missile.
Yeah.
In high school. Dreamweaver. I believe in Kip Missile.
Yeah. She's a very, very nice person.
Yeah, I know.
And Moxie. Love that guy.
Michael.
Really good dude.
Yeah. He's a country star now.
Except when he worked at The Zone.
Okay.
Wasn't a fan.
Dude, The Zone!
Yeah, they were like our competitor.
Yeah, I know. They were great.
Yeah, they were actually better than us at the
yes,
time.
Yes, they were!
They would blow us out of the water. And here's a funny story. So this was back, oh my gosh, in the mid-2000s,
yeah.
Probably 2004, 2005. It was 103.3 The Zone, and it was another alternative station. And we were on 104.7 The Edge, and our frequency was terrible. Like, 104.7... It's spotty throughout the city. There's places where it's just static in Albuquerque. So we had that going for us.
Yeah.
And the Zone flipped formats to alternative, and they just started crushing us. And no joke, out of the blue one day, after I think 2 years of just battling each other back and forth, the Zone flipped formats to now at FM. And our bosses came to us and said, you guys completely dodged a bullet. We actually had meetings about flipping The Edge.
No way!
And because The Zone flipped,
you guys,
we decided
to
give you guys a year or two to see if you could turn it around. And we did. We turned it around and became the number one morning show for a while, off and on. And, man, but I just remember that story just going, oh, man, if that, I could have gotten fired really early on in my career, you know? But, man, lasted almost 17 years over there. It's crazy to think about. Unbelievable.
Oh, dang, dude, you're not.
Oh, somebody already has the Netflix, but that's a.
Netflix actually tweeted it and said, no way, free year for you.
Oh, they gave him a free year?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He said, Netflix, put me on a commercial. I love you guys. And he got a Netflix tattoo. And they said, free year for you. Free year.
What if I got a Netflix tattoo? Total fail. God, and just like tweeted
guys,
Netflix.
Guys, I love you! Netflix.
I should totally get a henna tattoo of Netflix. Or I could just start my own company called Netflix.
Dude.
I feel like that could be very successful if I can figure out what the company is.
Mm.
It's 8:09.
High today of 89 degrees. Traffic! Accident reported. The right lane and shoulder is blocked. I-40 East at 12th Street. That's exit 157 off to the right, just past Rio Grande on the on-ramp. It's pretty backed up. Yeah, really backed up, actually. So make sure you are careful in that area, especially if you were like, I don't know, getting ready to go on a road trip with your stupid friends and you're like, I got to do this and I don't want to be in the car with them, but at least I get to listen to my favorite morning show, but I'm stuck with a bunch of dumbs.
Wow.
And I really don't want to be here, but at least I can text into my favorite friends. Huh. Hey, we see you, man. We see you. Sorry you're stuck with loser friends.
Who are you talking about?
Huh? I don't know. Somebody just chimed in on the live line. I mean, that's your look at traffic?
Okay.
All right, cool.
Traffic!
585 Live, if you want to text into the show. Facebook Live as well.
Remember the Starmie said, I used to get phone calls for The Edge all the time. People trying to win contests because their cell number ends in 1047. That stinks.
Did you ever change your number after a while? I feel bad because I've gone through so many cell phones over the past like 5-6 years. Yeah. And the cell phone that I had the longest, the poor lady...
Yeah.
I had friends come up to me because they had my old number. And they said this lady picked up the phone and she just lost it one time. Just had a meltdown because she just constantly got text messages and people calling or asking for me.
Recently, our girl B-Flo was in town, Brittany Flowers, and she was doing a group text with you and me, but it was your old number. And finally, that number responded and was like, my name is not Dexter. Will you please stop texting me?
It'd be the worst.
I laughed so hard when we got that text.
This was a few years ago. This girl, she got a new phone number. She's all excited. I got a phone. Oh man, what's my number going to be? Turns out it used to be the president of the UFC's phone number, Dana White. That was his cell phone number. So she had it. So she would have all of these like celebrity people calling her all the time. So we called the number and got her on and we interviewed her and she was so annoyed, but she also was like, man, I had no idea who Dana White was, so I looked him up. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You don't think about stuff like
that. No, you don't. Yeah. You just happen to get some celebrity's phone number. Has that ever happened to you, Starmie?
Dude. Dude, the Lopez fam is not chiming in from Las Cruces today.
Are they in Albuquerque right now?
They're in Disneyland! Yeah! Woo! Happiest place on earth. Please go ride the Guardians of the Galaxy ride for me.
Good for you.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
Happy for you guys.
Oh, man. Joelle the nanny just chimed in. She's the friend on the road trip. Whoops.
Yeah! Sorry, wrong button.
Not only did I offended our girl Joelle, but all for the sake of a stranger.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
Well, let's just jump into this, shall we?
Oh, I don't know how to feel! Mostly because I don't know what the letter is, so here we go.
I titled this letter, Was I Rude? Was I Rude? 585 Live. You can text in, Facebook Live us. I would like to discuss texting etiquette.
Oh, no.
That's how this email
starts.
That's
called text-a-kit.
It's in Connecticut. Okay. That was dumb. When do you know when the texting chain is over with someone? That's a great question.
Oh, no.
Does someone really have to say, "Okay, bye, see you soon," to end the texting conversation?
I'm not going to lie. This is the best letter we've ever gotten. I am this person.
I had two different occasions when I didn't know if I needed to reply to a text just to say, "Okay, bye." The person texted me where to go and where to meet, and I said, "Got it." And then the person replied with, "Looking forward to the meeting." Then I didn't reply, and they wrote back minutes later saying, "Hey, did you get that last text?" So I had to reply, "Yes, looking forward to it, too. See you later." A similar exchange happened the same day. Do you have to end the texting conversation with someone saying bye or any other word to say this conversation is over?
I'm so glad we're having this conversation because we are opposites, I think.
You think?
When it comes to... Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see.
You leave it open.
What do you mean?
You totally leave texts open and it makes me
like,
crazy.
I don't end it?
No!
Why?
Because I need closure, man. Ugh. If it's like, "Hey, dude, are we still on for tonight, 7 o'clock? And you go, "Yeah." And I go, "Right on, dude. Can't wait."
Yeah. What? Why do you...
Oh, what? I'm the only one that can't wait? You can't wait, too? See you soon? "Yeah, man. Me, too. See you soon." And I go, "Right on, man." And then you go, "Yeah." And I'm like, see you in a bit. And then you're like, "Bye." And then I'm like,
"So
oh,
ridiculous.
Bye. My bad. Bye. 7 texts later.
I don't get that at all. I don't understand why you need that. Why do you need that? There's another thing about texting that drives me crazy is that if somebody texts you and you don't respond right away, they get offended because they automatically know. Like, people know,
yeah.
I know he has his phone with him all the time. I know he saw that I texted him. I got the receipt back that said that he looked at my text.
That's why he turned that off, guys.
Why isn't
turn that
he
off.
Texting me
off.
Back? Why isn't she texting me back? Don't be that person.
Yeah.
Don't be that person. Please don't ever be that person. Nobody wants to be your friend if you're that person.
I mean, I may or may not be all of this.
Man.
Dude, come on. Instant communication. Communicate with me. You're not doing anything. I know you saw my text. You just liked the thing on Instagram.
What?
I know you're staring at your phone. It takes 4.2 seconds to be like, "Cool. Got it."
First off, you don't know what I'm
doing.
Thanks. What if I'm moving furniture?
Love you too.
What if I'm moving furniture and I didn't have time to check my phone? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's so ridiculous, guys. It really is so ridiculous. I'm with this person who wrote into the
I'm
show.
I'm being busted right now, by the way, by a dear friend who is so right. Because I'm looking at our conversations, and I truly am the king of leaving.
So you left your friend hanging? So you just did the opposite of what? So you do both? So you're, okay, so let me get this straight. You're the person who doesn't want it to happen to you, but you do it to your friends?
I've already had three separate friends. Three separate friends.
That's messed up, man.
Text me to bust me, and then I'm looking at my text conversations, and I left them all hanging.
That is messed up.
But on the flip side, if you don't close it out with me...
That's very selfish.
That is hilarious. I am who I hate.
Yeah.
I need to see a therapist. I hate myself.
You
do that. I didn't mean to do that.
You do.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness sakes.
Sweet.
585 live if you'd like to text in.
Somebody said the key is the thumbs up emoji. It's the best, quick, basic acknowledgement. Sweet.
Yeah, but then I have a couple friends. Every time I send that one, they go, "Please don't ever send that to me again."
I've gotten that too.
I hate it. I hate the thumbs up.
Dude. Somebody said, "Same, Steve-O. I know you're on the phone. I saw that you liked that photo on Instagram." Seriously.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "Steve-O, you are such a woman. You've seen my text reply. I need closure. Respond to me. Give me attention. I need you."
Oh my gosh. Ugh.
Somebody said, if you're friends and you're going to text them again, just leave it open. Somebody says, what drives me crazy is multiple texting for one conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
I don't know, guys. I don't get it.
Poor Jory. He chimed in and said, I look for closure every day when I text the show and I never get a reply.
See, I do feel bad for the Starmie because I know some of the members of the Starmies, they don't think that we actually got their text message because sometimes we'll get a text message. Hey, I've been texting
you
guys.
Well, so many come in. Like, yeah. That it's like, buh, 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 buh.
We try to read all of them, but we can't get all of them in.
Another member of the Starmie said, you don't need to say bye. It's texting. You're not talking on the phone.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, texting etiquette.
I'm just going to start spamming everyone with the thumbs up. Every time somebody sends anything. Got it. I like the okay one better. It's like it's almost like you flip it upside down. You're like, boom.
Yep.
And I just got everybody on Facebook Live. Does it have to be down here? People are wondering why I'm so on today.
Yeah, it's called coffee.
I can't imagine.
So we got this letter. This person in the Starmie wants to discuss texting etiquette. When do you know when the texting chain is over with someone? Does someone really have to say, okay, bye, see you soon, to end the texting conversation? This person had two different occasions when I didn't know if I needed to reply to a text just to say, okay, bye. The person texted me where to go and where to meet, and I said, got it. Then the person replied with, looking forward to the meeting. Then I didn't reply, and they wrote back minutes later saying, hey, did you get that last text? So I had to reply, yes, looking forward to it too. See you later. And then the person probably texted back and said, okay, bye. And then they waited for you to say, okay, bye, but never got a text. So then they texted you back and said, did you get that last text? What? Don't be like that.
Man. Somebody said you're not obligated to respond to a text just as you're not obligated to answer your phone. I do what I want. Yeah, I'm the worst. I felt bad because I am the worst. I just realized that because Teo texted me this morning. I was like, hey, sorry, my phone died. And sorry, I didn't answer the phone when you called three times yesterday. And so I'm the worst. Like if in the moment I'm like, I'll respond to you. If I don't respond within 10 minutes, guys, just know I'm never responding again.
yeah, pretty much.
I forget. And yeah, then more things in life happen. And then I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry.
So then let me ask you this then. What's the waiting time? Let's say if you send someone sends you a text and they don't respond, how long should you wait if it's not important?
Now I purposely want to wait like 3 days and just be like, man.
I think that person should wait maybe a few hours.
That right now. My buddy D's yesterday sent me a text, and I never responded, and I felt bad. He sent it at 7:02 p.m. yesterday. Christopher Nolan said he would definitely like to direct a James Bond 007 film. I would die. I'm going to be like, dude, totally. That was 24 hours ago. That would be amazing.
I'm trying to think the last text where somebody texted me the next day after I responded was Amy. Remember on the group text, yeah. I sent a really funny video meme.
And then
the next
day later,
she did ha ha ha. It's like, wow, that was like a day late and a dollar short, Amy.
But why is it a dollar short?
I have no idea. Okay. I just wanted to say it.
Gray says, I'm just the worst at texting. I'm old school. Call me if need be. I'm that way as well. I'd rather talk on the phone. Then like I'm like these tiny little letters.
Your eyesight is so bad.
You can chalk the chalk.
Athelia says, I always leave it open. Otherwise, it would be like the song that never ends. Stephanie says, I hate needy people, apparently, because she said, I have a life. I have kids. I can't respond within a second.
It's true. Even talking on the phone, if you want to take it to that, where you're communicating on the phone, I know a lot of people that won't say bye and they'll hang up. Like you'll go and be like, all right, well, it's good talking to you. And then they've already hung up.
All right, man. Yeah. Good chat.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Bye.
Right. But yeah. Back in the day, people would say goodbye to each other.
See, I think that's different than texting because you are talking to somebody. It's like a polite thing. Texting's different.
Yeah. Somebody said texting is more like a written voicemail. It's sent so the person can respond when it's convenient for them. If you want an answer immediately, call them.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
That's so true. Right. You
know. Somebody said the one I hate the most is when you're actually texting someone, giving someone info, or actually putting heart into your conversation, and all you get back is a K. Don't you K me.
Why do we get so offended by the K?
Because I just wrote really? 197 characters on this tiny, stupid screen, and you sent me a... You can't even say, okay?
Yeah.
K?
It's like text fighting with your
Especially when it's a lowercase k, because you know they had to take the time to change it from capital to lowercase. It's just the same amount of punching in as okay. Just say okay.
That is offensive.
Just saying.
Yeah, you never, ever want to send just K to your wife or your, well, husband, we don't care.
Somebody
to your
said,
wife, no.
I generally respond with restraining order. That always works. Somebody says, I think generally it's okay to leave text message threads open because people are working, have kids, they're busy. I tend to give people 24 hours to respond. If I haven't heard from them, I'll resend the text.
All right. Oh my gosh, there's something... I don't know if you could hear that, but something's sliding on the wall.
What is that?
Felt like something was going to fall on my foot. I think it's somebody's out there scrubbing or something in the wall. Sorry. Sorry, Starmy. Sorry, there's something happening outside the window. And it totally threw
somebody
us off.
Said group texts are the worst, especially when people are on there that you don't know and everybody's responding. I can't take that. I had a group text.
Gosh.
I don't mean to blast the person who originally sent this.
Blast him.
Blasted him. It was a Happy Father's Day group text. Happy Father's Day! And it was like me and like 30-something other people, and I had like three numbers in my phone.
Bing.
And the rest was random
Bing.
People I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you too! Oh, man! And then all of a sudden people are responding to each other, and I'm like, I don't know most of you. So if I do a generic you too and half of them aren't dads, like, what is this?
Right.
Why are we... What is this weird group... I don't like that. I don't like group texts when I don't know the people. Dude, put it on silent.
Sorry, man. I got to send these texts.
No, put it on.
All these people have been texting me. I need to just get back to them. There we go. All right, I'm good.
Somebody said, my wife texts just the letter K. That means I'm in trouble. And it's on at that point. Yep, pretty much. Yeah. Yep.
It's on.
If it's short.
It's on.
Yeah.
So the question, was I rude? No, you were not rude for not sending back a text after somebody says, looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah, no, that's open-ended. You got to be like, you too.
No, you don't have to. No, you don't have to.
Dude, if I came up to you and I was like, man, Monday, Dunkirk, I can't wait to hang out. Did you hear me? I said, I can't wait to hang out. Dex, can't you not wait to hang out too? I can't wait to hang out, man.
Call me, bro. How about you call me? If you really want to hear me reply to that, just call me, man.
Why would I call you? This is so much easier. Texting. Dude, I cannot wait. How often do we get to go out? Seriously. I can't wait to hang out on Monday.
All right.
I can't wait. It's because it's the day after my birthday.
I mean...
Can't wait to hang out.
Some people did bring up some good points.
Hang out
you
with
might
me.
Have brought up a good point of like, you know what? It doesn't take very long to text
it
back.
Doesn't.
It really doesn't. But at the same time... People just need to relax. Just calm down. You know, texting's a little bit different than having a conversation in real life.
Somebody said the worst part of texting is when you're texting a morning show about a dumb topic.
I disagree.
Okay.
Thank you, Starman.
Somebody said, weird, I wonder how Aaron feels about this with Dexter. At least you're consistently the worst.
Well, here's the thing. With Buck, he never, ever... will text. He always calls, and I'm the complete opposite.
If I
am in a weird mood, I see somebody call, even a close friend that calls me, I won't pick up because I get anxiety and I'm like, oh, I just can't right now. Oh, and I just can't. I can't. Oh my gosh, it hurts my body right now. I can't even. Oh my gosh, it's freaking me out that someone's calling me right now. And I'll send him a text and be like, hey, what's up, man? Sorry I missed your call. He'll call me again. Oh my gosh, he's calling me again. What do I do? Send a voicemail.
Okay. See, I want to say that's really bad, but that's not the worst. Because remember the Starmie just chimed in with what is actually the worst? Actually the worst? You text somebody, and then, whoop, you see the little ellipses, right? So you know, like, they're texting something. You're like, waiting.
Yeah.
It's like they're writing.
That is the worst. Yeah, you can see.
Like 5 minutes goes by, and it's like still a little ellipses.
Do droid people have that?
Dude, what are they? Are they like typing? Are they like writing a novel? What's going on? And it's like, waiting. I'm not going to lie, guys. If that happens, if you're texting me and I have those little ellipses and like 10 minutes goes by and then it's like gone, I'm like, What were you gonna say? I straight up, I text like that. I straight up text that.
Everybody's
dude,
like
seriously,
that.
No. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, because
you were.
That.
And 9 times out of 10, it's like, oh, I accidentally hit a letter, and then it was like nothing. And you're like,
that's usually what I assume. I usually just assume.
Oh, I always
that somebody
know.
Just like hit a letter, and then they just stopped texting, and they forgot.
Is it weird to text them and say that? Like, hey, what were you gonna say? Hey, yeah. Ellipses boy.
If they wanted to say it, they'd say it.
Say what you need to say, John Mayer. Gosh, that's Tuesday.
That's so funny, though, that you said that, because I think everybody's like that.
You're just staring at it? Like,
yeah, like, oh, they're texting me right
they're
now.
Texting me.
What do they
they're
need to say?
Why isn't it gone through yet?
Yeah.
Why is it still... Okay.
So weird. Communication is so weird. Thank you. Thank you for the letter. Studio at star88.fm. You can email us anytime. Message us on Facebook.
Okay, Nate just texted and said shock therapy, and I said totally, and then he sent the thumbs up.
Oh,
do I respond with another thumbs up?
No, dude, don't respond at all.
Or because he sent like the Ronald McDonald thumbs up, the like yellow one, and it's like, why'd you send the yellow one? You're like super white. Like, do you send the like clear one to let him know like use this one instead next time?
Oh my gosh.
Or do you like or like maybe the fist pound?
Were you listening?
I'm gonna send the fist pound just to see if he does. Boom. He did thumbs up, and then I did the pound.
Help
so
me.
Now it's going to be like, I don't know if that didn't make sense. Dang it. I'm terrible at texting, guys.
All right. Yeah, Shock Therapy Live, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
With Pastor Nate Heitzig. If you guys have any questions, you guys need to send them in before 9 o'clock. 585-LIVE if you want to text them in. We'll be right back.
The president's nominee to lead the FBI is in a confirmation hearing. Christopher Wray asked if anyone at the White House has asked him for his allegiance.
No one asked me for any kind of loyalty oath at any point during this process, and I sure as heck didn't offer one.
Novak Djokovic is the latest men's tennis star to crash out at Wimbledon. Djokovic retired from his quarterfinal match because of injury.
Hundreds of nurses walked off the job in Boston. Tufts Medical Center nurses took the one-day action after more than 15 months of stalled contract talks.
The British city of Manchester is making Ariana Grande an honorary citizen.
Former Brazilian President Luiz Inácio da Silva has been convicted of corruption and money laundering.
A record day on Wall Street.
An FDA panel's meeting to decide whether to recommend the first government-approved gene therapy, which uses the body's own immune system to attack cancer.
Oh, welcome to the show, everybody. Don't forget, Waverly gonna be in town. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. 2 days after my birthday. They're gonna be playing at Calvary all weekend.
They're doing the services.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. And then Sunday night, come celebrate their 10-year anniversary. Tickets are $10. You can buy them at Parchman's Bookstore here at the Calvary Campus. Star88.fm/events for all the details. Waverly is back!
One more show, guys. One more show. Man. Gonna be good.
841.
High today of 89 degrees. Traffic! Taking a look at the roads. Any accidents to report? Everything's looking pretty good. Proud of you, Albuquerque. There's some construction, Central Avenue between Huantabo and Tramway. The left lane is closed there. Other than that, honestly, it's looking really good this morning. Not a whole lot of
you're
backup on
a
thanks, girl. I-25, I-40 looking pretty clear. Did you look at traffic?
Summer is here, and while millions of us head outside for a little fun in the sun,
woo!
What about the goth kids? Literally dozens of them left behind in the shadows. The wannabe vampires.
My name is Bathysphere.
Robert Smith.
Love cats!
For the price of SPF 200 suntan lotion, you can help bring the goth kids out of the shade.
Yo, I'm Chris Angel. Ta-da. Join me in sponsoring a goth kid, man. Bro.
Sponsor a goth kid for pennies a day. Imagine a day when goth kids can come outside and hang with all of us.
We want to come outside.
Act now.
Guys, will you sponsor a goth today? If you want to sponsor the show, we really need sponsors because we need
better sponsors than that one.
I don't know.
It's just
that's a if you're a business out there, just call over here and put you in touch with one of our glorious sales reps.
That was one of my favorites. Oh, SPF 200. That was phenomenal.
They need it. Vampires need that, man.
Don't you start mocking, man. There was a little movie that came out when I was a wee lad called Interview with the Vampire. It changed my life.
Heck yeah, man.
Blech. That was a great movie. Illuminated my room with candles for the next 3 years. It's like, call me Lestat.
What year did that come out?
93.
Yeah, I think that's the year I thought of.
I'm checking right now.
I just remember being so... I got claustrophobic watching that movie because...
94!
The little girl, what's the actor's name?
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. When she turned into a vampire at like 7 years old...
Yeah.
I was claustrophobic after that because she'll be seven forever.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking, what if I was stuck at this age? Be awful.
Dude. Man. Isn't there a rumor that they're like remaking them?
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Is there
1994.
That's a movie that still...
That novel was written in 1976.
Good. Wow.
I never knew that. I read... did I read all of them? I think I read all of them.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, man.
Okay. All right.
Before we jump into more headlines, at 9 a.m. we have Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heidsieck. If you have questions, you can get them in at 585-LIVE or email us, studio@star88.fm. Or when we kick it off, we love taking phone calls, so just plan on calling us at 338-3700 starting at 9, and we'll get you on, and we will try to help you with whatever you're dealing with. 16 movies that Tom Hanks would have maybe done if he had time. This is a pretty cool list. Tom Hanks, we know him as one of the greatest actors of our time. He's one of my favorites. He's starred in over 50 movies, plus he's written and directed 2 movies, done some TV shows, and produced numerous projects over the years. Here's a list. Here's a little rundown.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait. Before we do this.
Yes. Oh, you want... Yeah, do the birthday shout-out.
We have to do this.
Yeah,
we
don't forget.
We got the sweetest thing, and this morning, it turns out, our biggest fan.
Biggest fan.
Biggest fan.
I'm glad you stopped me.
Yeah. She loves the Morning Invasion.
Oh.
She laughs all the way to wherever it is they're going, watching us. She even started singing Dude. You gotta make sure it starts with like an M or an N.
Dude.
Yeah. Listen to the way I do it. No, seriously, dude. She is 7 years old today. Her name is Abby. And she needs a birthday shout out.
Yeah!
What can I say except you're welcome?
Why are we doing the Moana for her birthday?
She loves Moana.
She's 7?
Hey, little wait, okay, you're welcome.
Okay, what? Why are you fast-forwarding it? That's like one of the best parts.
I think the VCR tape got scrambled. Okay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you so much for listening. We just love you so much.
Yeah.
Uncle Dex and Uncle Steve-O.
Okay, you just made it weird, man.
I did.
You just made it really weird. Okay, dang it, we have a really good
I know where you're
thing.
Going with this, and I always want to go
into
that. I
want to do this instead!
Okay,
dang
fine,
it.
We'll save the list for later.
I want to hear the list, though!
I know.
But, dude, do you have any not-uncle-uncles for your kids?
Can I tell you that I hate that?
Yeah! Let's talk about this.
Okay, let's talk. Let's just put the list away for a second because I'm curious to see what you think about this.
If I'm being honest, my kids might have a couple fake uncles.
And you're okay with this?
I mean.
They're fake uncles.
Uncle JoJo.
Ugh.
It's Joey Belville.
He's not blood.
If you talk to him...
What? He's not... You're not related to JoJo?
The funny thing is, it's not me. Joey and Chrissy have been... The Echo and Green was a band, like, in the 90s.
Doesn't matter.
She's been... Oh, dude. So, that's like his little sister. He's always called her his little sister. And so, from the very beginning, I've been Uncle Steve-O. He's Uncle JoJo.
Okay. I was gonna say, if it was, like, they were adopted brother and sister. But then I'm like, well,
yeah,
if
but
they
that's
grew,
real.
If they grew up, oh, I know that. I'm just saying though. There's, I don't even know. And then they were just best friends and they like knew each other since
they were
kids.
How about this one? Are you guys ready for this weirdness? This is a little weird. Oh man, I hope she's not listening. Chrissy dated a dude who's probably one of the coolest dudes. Like, I still give her so much junk for this because she really blew it. He's amazing. And then
you should have talked to me about this guy before. Yeah.
Ethan.
Yeah.
Ethan Luck, currently on tour, you know, part of, he's working with Kings of Leon right now. Kings of Leon. He's
man,
in a little band
up,
called
Chrissy.
The Dingies. He did OC Supertones, Reliant K, Demon Hunter.
He'd always be on the road, and that seems like, you know.
Hard life.
Hard life.
He was just like over in Croatia. But we're still like texting, talking Metallica. He's one of my favorite human beings on the planet. So I've known him, you know, oddly enough, as Chrissy's ex-boyfriend, going all the way back to when I first met Chrissy. One of my favorite human beings. My kids call him Uncle Ethan.
What?
My wife's, yeah.
What? You need therapy, man. That's messed up.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
He's been around, like, just really, really close friends. But then you think about, like, your besties, and, like, nobody calls you Uncle Dex.
Actually,
Steven's not like Uncle Steven.
Well, yeah, I don't like it, and I'm not the one who calls it out either. Like, if we're hanging out with some friends, and all of a sudden I hear... Because my wife, she'll do this all the time when we get close to some people. She'll be like, oh, go and, hey, Jaden, go ask Aunt whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not blood related. Mm-hmm. I just kind of get like, oh, my gosh, no.
But here's the thing. Somebody just chimed in and said, thanks, Uncle Dex and Uncle Steve-O. That's because of Abby's birthday. In fact, we call a lot of people uncle because we lived in Hawaii. It's a respect thing. Huh.
Yeah.
Respect.
I'll give you that.
Maximum respect to my boy Uncle Dex.
That's one thing that I remember meeting a niece that I had never met before, and she didn't call me Uncle Dex.
Okay.
And
on
I,
the flip side,
I called her out for that.
I have a nephew who just calls me Steve.
Oh no! See, that's disrespectful.
Like actual nephew, and I'm like, no, dog.
Yeah, mm-mm. Uncle Dex, you better say it.
Mm-hmm. You hear that, Tommy? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Calm out, man. Calm out.
I'm just kidding.
Here's why I have a problem with this, the whole aunt and uncle name, because...
Is it confusing?
Well, no. In the past, you know how friendships are sometimes. You know, sometimes you meet people and they can be friends for a reason, friends for a season, or friends for life.
Mm-hmm.
And... A lot of
is
times,
that a Hallmark card or something.
Yeah, I read it off a card. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Friends for a reason, a season, or life.
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
like,
it's
those
actually
are the only
true.
Options.
No, it's actually true.
What if it's like friends from prison, friends from who've risen, Jesus, and
yeah,
friends.
But it would still like fit into one of those categories, bro. Okay?
That's my new one. Friends from prison, friends who've risen, or friends.
Anyways,
who are honorable men?
Okay,
that didn't rhyme.
We've been in that situation where it's like you are telling the kids to call this person who isn't blood related, uncle, and then we have a falling out somehow. And I'm sorry, but if you are taking the title on as aunt or uncle, there is no falling out. Family's family. And if you're going to take the title on of being like aunt whoever, you work through whatever it is, right? That's what I think, you know? I mean, am I wrong with that? That's the problem with it, because if it's not blood, then it's like you have that falling out, and it's like, dude, why? Oh, that drives me crazy. You don't deserve the name Aunt whatever.
What?
No, they're not blood. Get out of here.
But they were there through the
no.
thick and thin, and it doesn't matter. No, dude, I'll tell
you
right
blood,
now.
It's got to be blood, man.
Nope, I disagree. And here, there's a really incredible couple kiddos that probably aren't listening right now, who still call me uncle, that I'm not their blood. And that family, like, parents ended up getting divorced, like, lost touch, sort of, certain ways. Still, like, friends, but it's not like it was years ago. So I get that, but every time I see them, they're, like, they're so excited. Uncle! Boom,
do
we're talking!
Not, do they not have an uncle?
Uh-uh.
See, then I'm okay with that.
You were an idiot.
If they don't have an uncle, then it's fine, man. If you're close to them and they don't have an uncle, then they need an uncle. You can be their uncle. But if they have an uncle, see, I think it's disrespectful to the real uncles. What about the real aunt and uncles? I take offense to that.
Okay.
Like, if I was hanging out with my brother and he had kids and I heard them call somebody else that wasn't blood related, uncle whoever, I'd be offended. I'd be like, no, you have no Toth blood. Get out of here.
No, you were so weird. Somebody said nothing wrong with calling somebody your honorary aunt or uncle. Just means that person has a positive impact on your life. Thank you, Chelsea. Somebody else said my best friends have raised their kids since babies. I was their uncle and they know no difference. Another person said, I'm Uncle D to my best friend's kids. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm weird about it. I think that you're kind of chucking out, like, aunt and uncle, like it's, you know, it doesn't really mean anything.
My wife said many countries do it as a sign of respect and loyalty. She's from the Dominican Republic. They do that all the time. They call people auntie or uncle.
It's like the word love. You know, we should only use the word love at least maybe once a year.
See, I had a friend in college from India who referred to anyone in the States that spoke his name, dialect, as family, cousins, uncles. No! And I totally disagree with what you're saying. Although I do think people overuse love. Like, I love you. I'm trying to get off the phone. I love you. All right, I love you. Bye.
Read that one. Because
which one? Maybe why are you so pessimistic?
Maybe I am. Maybe
just
I am.
Assuming uncle's going to have a falling out. It'll be fine. Trust people, brah.
Yeah, maybe I do have some trust issues.
Somebody said I hate the fake uncle and aunt stuff. I don't even call my own uncle and aunt by that. My wife, see, however.
You need to.
Your cousin is not the boy's uncle. No, people are... Somebody said Dex is right. You need therapy, Steve-O. So,
it's
no.
Pretty split down the middle.
Yeah.
With this. We've just gotten burned before in past Dex, relationships. And thank I just... You. I don't like the whole, like, here, you've earned this aunt... Hood.
Marcus says the Kardashians used to call OJ Simpson Uncle OJ. Look what happened there. Hey, man. All right. Does Tio and Tia work better for you than Dexter?
No, man. Tio? It's the same thing, bro.
See, my aunts and uncles, I still call them uncle and then auntie. Yeah. I never call them by their first names. Like a friend hit me up and was like, dude, I'm a grown up. I call my uncles and aunts by their first names. Because I'm a grown-up. Like, no. I don't call my brother, no. Hey, brother.
No, that's not the same thing. I still, to this day, as a 30, almost 38-year-old person, July 21st, turn 38, Uncle Rick, Aunt Louise, Uncle George. It's different, man. It's that respect thing, you know? It's different than saying sister or brother. It's Uncle Dex. It's Uncle Steve-O.
No, I got you.
You know?
I get it.
It's Tia Betty.
I've had multiple nephews call me by my first name, and I get weird. I'm like, dude, uncle, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, uncle. Maybe throw a little uncle in there. Because, yep. You know, I'm your uncle. But on the flip side, yep. My kids totally still call me daddy. Hey, daddy. Daddy. Yeah. Like my teenage kid. And I'm like, don't ever stop doing that. I don't care. Like, hey, father. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm almost going to give a pass to... See, when you brought up the whole JoJo...
Yeah.
If you've been in someone's life forever and you've been friends for a long time, then I'm okay with it.
But Brodus doesn't have... Chrissy is his sister. Like, he doesn't have...
I totally get it. But I hate when you get into a new friendship with somebody and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later... It's aunt.
2 weeks later?
That's happened before.
Dang, dude, you move fast.
I don't. No, I'm not. Not me. Not me.
Somebody said, have your kids called Teo. Teo. That way, when you have that falling out, you can just say they pronounced it wrong. It's Teo.
That's a stabbing.
Teo. One of our neighbors is like an uncle to me. I call him uncle. He's lived there roughly 12 years. He's wise and awesome. That's half my life. Thank you, Starmie.
Right on.
Somebody said I'm Nina to a lot of my nephews, which is Nina. Godmother to a child, but I'm only the godmother to one child. I think they think that's my name. Somebody said I have an Uncle Tom that I call Uncle Tom. Oh no. Somebody said what's weird is when your uncle is younger than you. Broken family trees.
Oh. Whoa.
Hmm. Somebody else said, I lived in Hawaii and called nearly everyone auntie or uncle. Some of them I haven't seen in years, and I'd still call them that just because that's who they are to me. Somebody said, under no circumstances would I ever let my kids refer to my wife's ex as uncle.
Yeah, Steve-O. That's super weird.
Dude, it's Uncle Ethan.
Yeah, who's in a super famous band.
No, but he likes
super good looking.
He's super married to the super best wife on the planet.
Whatevs. Yeah. Good conversation, bro.
Yeah, but not everybody just had gnarly breakdown, like, fights and tragic endings to relationships. Sometimes people can have grown-up relationships where, you know, it doesn't, like, go awry. They just recognize, you know what? I don't know what this was, but it's not a thing anymore, so... But you're still a really cool person.
Whatever.
I've never had those, but apparently other people can.
Yeah.
Mine have always ended tragically with restraining orders and crying.
All right.
What?
We got to take a break. Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzik is next. So if you guys have questions, studio at star88.fm. You guys can text them in if you'd like, 585-LIVE. And we love the phone calls. So phone lines will be open here shortly for Shock Therapy Live. This is a time, man. It's not theology. No theology questions. We're talking about, like, some crazy questions that you usually are probably pretty uncomfortable asking, that you need help with. Feel free. 338-3700. We'll be back.
The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
Let's do this.
The Morning Invasion brings you Shock Therapy Live, featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig. Call now, 338-3700, or email us at studio at star88.fm.
Oh, good morning, everybody. It is 9 a.m., which means Shock Therapy Live on a Thursday with Pastor Nate Heitzig.
He's hiding in the corner.
Good morning.
Dude, this is the best spot in the whole studio. Because nobody can see me do obscene gestures.
Except...
He doesn't do that.
Except, here's the thing. That's deceiving. If you actually look, it's wider than that. Like, I'm barely on here, but you can fully see me still in the shot.
You still can't see me, though, right?
It's a wide-angle lens.
Now, Facebook Live is what we're talking about. You can go to Star88. You can watch the show. Listen to us right now.
Yeah.
Pastor Nate Heitzik.
Dude.
Good morning.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you here.
No, we had a couple crazy weeks, but
Back
it's good.
Back in the saddle again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're new to this hour, Shock Therapy Live, it's definitely not for little ears. You know
what are little ears? Like people with little ear conditions? They've got tiny ears and normal sized heads. I'm kind of offended by that.
It's biblical, bro. God said it.
What?
Be careful, little ears, what you hear.
Yep.
Matthew 17. No,
So that guy has been offensive. That guy has been self conscious about his ears since he was a kid. It's like,
The good news is when you're 83, you're going to have normal sized ears because your ears never stop growing.
Hmm.
Everybody's going to be mocking
unless
all
your
the
ears
old dudes.
Have Benjamin Button disease and they keep getting smaller.
Okay. Oh, weird. What if you have like cauliflower ear because you're a fighter? Definitely don't make fun of them.
It's true.
They will floor with you. Hey, are you going to kick it for the McGregor-Mayweather fight?
Dude, I want to see it.
Or do you want to get it?
Are you guys getting it?
We were going to get it, but I just realized you make way more than me, and it's $100. Do you want to get it, and we'll come over?
Sure.
Whatever. Steve-O is like charging people $10 at the door. He's going to make money.
It's $100!
Are you really charging $10 at the door?
I mean, I was thinking about doing a family cover of like 10, maybe 20.
Huh.
Maybe 20.
Well, hey, I'll do it for everybody for free, because I'm not...
Wow. Thanks, man. Okay.
Because I'm not.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Who do you think's going to win?
Okay, who do I want to win? Who do I think's going to win?
Yeah. Those are very real questions.
I'd love to see Conor McGregor win.
Oh, everybody would.
But I think he's going to get trashed by Mayweather.
I think
to a certain extent, I know he's talking a big game at the press conference and whatnot. I think he knows, but I think he also knows the more crap he talks and the more he says, one punch, you know, fourth round, I'm going to knock you out. He knows the more he says that, the more he's a businessman. He knows how to build anticipation for a fight and make money.
And he knows how to get in someone's head, too.
I was going to say, I also think Conor believes what he's saying. I don't think it's just hype. I think Conor's training and believes he's going to knock out Floyd Money Mayweather.
He's never fought a boxer like that before.
He has not.
I mean, and you've seen even a couple of his fights against UFC fighters that, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. I think he's in for a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I really – I said this from the beginning. I know they couldn't do this because it wouldn't be a professional fight. But I really wish they would have done something like, hey, we're going to do like, you know, four rounds of boxing. Then we're right. going to do two rounds of octagon.
Oh, man.
And it's like if you can last in the – because, I mean, yeah. that's it. It's the same thing. If Floyd were to be thrown into the octagon with him, he'd be trashed. He'd be destroyed.
In the first mm-hmm. round.
Oh, it'd be just over.
Mm-hmm.
So – I kind of think it's unfair that they made one guy completely go into the other guy's element.
Yeah.
But at the same time, hasn't it been from the beginning that Connor's been kind of the one who's talked trash that said, I could have beat him if I
yeah,
was
Yeah, well, Connor believes that he is the best at everything. Mm-hmm. So you go into every fight with that mindset. And honestly, I believe that's why he is who he is.
I honestly, mean,
that's
what I love seeing big egos completely destroyed. So either guy loses, I'm going to enjoy it.
I know.
Because, like, seeing Ronda Rousey lose was really enjoyable. If Conor McGregor loses, he's got a really big head. It's going to be really enjoyable. The difference between Conor McGregor and Floyd is in UFC, you'll see these guys, they talk crap like 6 months, and then right after they lose, it's like, hey, let's give each other a hug. Good yep. job, man. And that's what Conor will do. If he loses, yep. he's going to be like, hey, good
respect.
Job. That was a good yep. fight. Yeah. I don't think Floyd will.
I don't either.
Floyd's just a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, just, I mean, he's just a jerk.
So here's a good question, because we're talking Shock Therapy Live. You know, if you're new to this hour, we dig into different topics. We've already got a few this morning. We'll probably touch on tattoos for a second, because that usually seems to be a conversation that's, man, just going. Somebody chimed in who's living with his mom. And we mentioned dudes leaving the nest early. He's got a really interesting story. Somebody else literally just chimed
Janae
in to
I
say.
I still live with my mom.
Okay.
Totally normal. Yeah.
I just want to say I went to Calvary one Sunday to hear Nate preach, and it was sick, bro. So there you
no.
go. I'm serious. Somebody just said that. Somebody else said, I think Connor's going to knock Mayweather out. He's going to forget what's happening and kick him in the head. That would be amazing.
Be really
what
funny.
If it was just an accident? Oh, no. Oh.
Well, let's talk about this, because three of us in here, all believers in Jesus Christ, Pastor Nate over here, you know, pastor. And we're talking about a pretty bloody sport. How do we reconcile violence and watching things like that with our faith? It's a good question.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, you have to realize that it is sport, and that it's not just, you know, two dudes getting thrown in without rules, without regulations.
Like the gladiators
yeah,
back in the day.
It's not gladiator
games. But that was still for entertainment, yo!
So, I mean, we're talking about here a sport, and you're talking about guys who willingly go into it. They're not forced to go into it. You talk about gladiator games. These guys were forced to go into it. A lot of them were slaves. A lot of them were thrown in there. A lot of them were fighting for their freedom. These guys are guys that literally this is a regulated government sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I relate it to, you know, so many of these other sports, wrestling and boxing. And I don't think you can have an issue with UFC if you don't have an issue with those other sports, some of which are Olympic sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again,
even look at football, man. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? The number of people that are hurt or concussions and
yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. Football is an extremely violent sport. Actually, there's probably linked scientifically more long-term damage to football than there is to UFC.
You've right. seen the documentary, haven't you?
Because you're in it for so long, you're getting hit at that kind of a speed. In UFC, it's a really incredible sport, and it's incredible to see these guys too. Again, we said before, right after the fight's done, the amount of respect that these guys have for one another, the amount of training these guys have, these guys are just, you know, top notch physical specimens. I mean,
yeah.
they're just working really, really, really hard. And it is a controlled sport. There's, mm-hmm. there's judges, there are referees in there
mm-hmm.
trying to make sure these guys don't get hurt, like long-term hurt.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's things you can't control. Sometimes a guy will kick another guy, and his leg will snap like a twig.
Yeah.
You can't
a
control
dude
that.
Died recently in a boxing match. You know, I mean, young guy. He just hit the mat funny and, yeah, on a KO.
Yeah,
and
so there's
pretty rare.
Always, there's
yeah,
always,
very
there's
rare.
Always going to be risk to it, but there's risk to any sport.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to a baseball game, you might get hit in the head by a fly baseball and die.
Yeah.
It's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. I think it's a fun sport to watch.
Yeah. Absolutely. There you go. Questions coming
thoughts?
In. I'm with you 150,000%. These are trained athletes, and that's it, man. It's not the gladiator matches. They're not fighting to the death. They're not out to kill each other. And you just see the technique. When I first started, it was something that was hard for me because
I got involved
because you're a girl.
Well, yes, yeah. Thank you. I got involved watching the UFC only because I used to do this thing with Joey Belleville, a good friend of mine on the CW, and we did this TV thing with Rashad Evans, who was then the light heavyweight champ of the world. He was getting ready to fight Lyoto Machida for the light heavyweight championship, and I'd never seen a UFC fight. We went and trained with him for a day.
With Lyoto?
No, with Sugar Rashad, Rashad Evans. I threw up everywhere, dude. It was intense training. These fighters go through ridiculous... I mean, it was the week of the match.
Yeah, it's definitely not CrossFit, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so that Saturday, it was the first time ever watching it, and Joey and I had two very different experiences because we watched it, and Rashad ended up getting knocked out. It was a nasty knockout, too, man. And... Joey's like, I'm never going to watch one of these again because he just saw this really nice guy get like knocked unconscious and he hated it.
Girl.
I did not. I felt similar, but it was like, this is phenomenal because interviewing him beforehand and he was a really nice dude and just getting to spend time and see the training and what goes into it. Like, both of these dudes are out to prove that they're the best in their sport, which is no different than baseball or football or hockey or, you know what I mean? If anything, the fight's more regulated than hockey matches.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
and even boxing as well. Boxing, you're getting hit in the head over and over and over.
That was one of the best rivalries until John Bones Jones came on the scene. Rashad and Rampage, man, that was like
the Ultimate Fighter. That was a good rivalry. Coaches. Oh my god,
that Rampage was fantastic. And Rashad, man.
Yep. Yeah. Somebody chimed in and said Tiger Woods has had 39 surgeries from golf. I've been in MMA for 12 years, and I have never had one. Thank you, Lenny.
Also because, you know, people who fight in the UFC are actually men.
Okay.
Well, it could be genetics as well.
A lot of things to take into consideration.
I golf. Which means I'm
going. Oh, man. If you'd like to chime in, 505-585-LIVE is our text in line. That's 505-585-5483. We got some questions coming in.
Golf's a gentleman's sport. UFC is a man's sport.
Yeah.
Also, phone lines, we love when you call.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love when you call.
We like it better when you call.
338-3700 if you'd like to call in right now.
Well, you don't call anymore.
Yomi chimed in and said MMA fighting, a lot safer than a lot of other sports in comparison to skydiving, bull riding. You can't tap when you're on the ball. You can't tap while you're in the middle of the sky. In the cage, true. You can tap. There's regulations. There's rules. That's a good one. Moving on. You ready to take some questions?
Sure.
Some more questions?
Let's do it. That wasn't really a question. You just made
it
a question.
I know, right? People were chiming in like, how can you reconcile that?
Felt like a time filler.
Yeah. Thanks. 15-minute time filler. No. Somebody wanted to know how we reconcile that.
Yeah, I believe
it's
you.
It's like, yeah. How do we reconcile that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sure they did.
Just like the tattoo question, which we'll get to at some point. Hey, guys. My husband has been smoking pot and drinking on and off since we've been married 7 years.
Whoa, we got right into it.
He used to lie about it because I would freak out, but now I've told him as long as he's honest, I don't mind if he does these things in moderation. Our relationship has gotten better since I've stopped nagging him. He's been totally honest with me, but at the same time, I feel like I've let my standards sink. My husband goes to church with me, supports my faith, believes he has accepted the Lord, and I believe he has a call in his life. Am I doing the wrong thing letting all of this slide? Man, I immediately want to know what state they live in.
They're leaving?
But here's my thing. Does it matter what state they live in?
Well, I mean,
well,
if it's quote unquote moderation.
But I mean,
I know. I'm being kind of snarky.
Oh yeah.
No, you go ahead.
We've talked about the whole pot thing before. Now, so I'm not really going to get into that because that's not the question. She's not really asking this pot wrong. She's
right.
Really asking, has she let her standards down and is she making a mistake? And I would say I think you have. I think a huge part of the marriage relationship is spurring one another on towards good deeds and towards a righteous behavior and a righteous lifestyle. And there's times when I need my wife to call me out on crap. And the reason I need her to call me out on crap is because she's the only one who can. I haven't given a lot of room to a lot of people in my life to do that. And my wife's one of the few who I have.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't call me out on stuff sometimes, stuff that other people don't see, stuff that's in the privacy of my own home, an attitude that I have or the way I'm treating my kids, if she doesn't do that, nobody will. And it'll go left unchecked and become part of my behavior. So I really believe part of our role as a spouse is to, not be dictators for our spouse, but it is to be checks for our spouse and say, hey, you're going down this road. Are you sure that's a road you want to go down? I don't think you should do that. And there's times my wife has to sit down and say, hey, I've been noticing you've been doing this, and I think you're better than that. And, man, that really sucks to hear that. Like, I'd rather hear, hey, don't do that. That's bad. But it's almost like they pull, like, the disappointed dad card.
Oh,
like,
that's the worst.
Hey, you've been doing this, and I think you're better than that. And is that what you want to be known for?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
ugh. No.
And I get really – usually I get really frustrated. I'm like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yep.
And I walk away, and it's like a day later, I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Doing that. Oh, it just really, really sucks. It sucks to get called out on crap. And,
It
sucks to have your pride, you know, deflated, especially as a man.
Yep.
But we need to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you are making a mistake by letting those things slide. I think that especially if he is now professing faith in Christ, I would ask a question. Hey, what's different between your life now and when you came to – and before you were a Christian? Well, I go to church. Well, that's not enough. You know, what's different between your life? Part of the sanctification process is looking at things in our life that were part of our old life and figuring out what shouldn't be a part of our life now as a believer, what things shouldn't be there. And that's different for each person. I remember when my mom came to Christ, she was really heavy in the bar scene and she was a bartender. And she was so immersed in the secular world that she decided that she was going to get rid of all her secular albums.
Yeah.
Now, to this day, she doesn't not listen to secular music. She listens to most of the music my mom listens to is probably secular music. But for a time in her life, she saw that as something she needed to give up because it just reminded her of being a bartender and being in the world and doing drugs. And so she gave it up. And so I think there's things as a believer we need to give up and we need to realize they're not part of the sanctification process for us. And and I would say marijuana is definitely one of those things. We've talked about marijuana to an extent on this show at different times and what our views on it are. And if you want more information on that, you can go back and check out the podcast.
Yeah.
But I really think that I really think that the role of the wife in this situation is to encourage her husband towards righteousness.
Somebody said, yeah, but what about that mustache you decided to grow? Where was your wife with that epic fail?
Oh, man.
Dude, she liked the mustache.
Thank you, Starmie. Thank you.
There's a lot of things I could say about that. Most of them are very inappropriate.
Oh, man. Woo.
I mustache you to stop.
Okay.
No, it was so funny. The first time I grew the mustache, my wife was like, oh, my gosh, that's so disgusting. And then after I kept it for a while, she really liked it. And she didn't want me to shave it.
Yeah.
The hard part, the reason that she finally said, she's like, look, if you're not going to put in the effort to style it each day, then shave it. Because when you don't style a mustache, it's just pervert. It's just gross. It becomes a full-on perv stash.
338-3700. Phone lines are open if you'd
Steve-O
like to call
knows
in.
What it's like to be one of those.
I do know what it's like to be one of those. I had that. Oh.
Hey, thank you for calling. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
So speaking of marijuana, my situation is a little bit different. So my wife, she has epilepsy and she's not doing it right now or anything like that. But, we've talked about it and, you know, some doctors have suggested it and whatnot. So I just want to know what you guys think.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're both Christians. So
I'm so glad you asked this. And this is, you know, this is, I think this probably has become one of the most asked and answered questions on Shock Therapy Live.
Absolutely.
Because there's a big controversy over this in the church. Personally, what I would say is I have no issue with medicinal marijuana used within the purposes and the confines of the medical field as prescribed by a doctor. Now, that's a really long kind of like a lot of red tape answer for basically the idea that people are prescribed Percocet or Vicodin when they break their leg. And those drugs have, you know, heavy side effects that cause people to want to do them recreationally. So there's a lot of people who will buy prescription drugs in the black market and do them recreationally as recreational drugs. But when used in the correct confines and the correct prescription and dosage by a doctor, they can be really helpful to deal with pain and to deal with issues that the body is having. Now, there's a difference if I'm prescribed Percocet, if I wake up one day and say, you know what, I know I'm prescribed this for the pain in my leg, but I really want to have a good time tonight, so I'm going to take three and see what happens. Well, there's a difference there because now I'm taking it for the purpose of altering my state of mind. I'm not taking it for the purpose of dealing with the pain or
and
the issue that I'm
having.
Just talk
to Chris Cornell, see how that works out.
Yeah. So,
wait,
too
you
soon.
Can't.
Too soon.
Wow, man.
Yeah, I kind of have a follow-up to that, too, because, you know, I'm not really against it. I'm actually kind of for it, but she's kind of hesitant on it, you know. And I'm just trying to figure out how to convince her to actually at least try it and see how she... how she likes it, if it works.
So it's hard to do that. You can't do that because there is a moral, there's a moral guard that God's placed in each one of us. And there's this concept that Paul talks about where there's some who can eat meat. And there's some who can't eat meat. And what that's talking about is in the Old Testament, they weren't supposed to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. And in the New Testament, after Christ has came, he comes down and he tells Paul, hey, don't call, or he tells Peter, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And this whole concept begins to open up in the Bible, that there's some people who can't eat meat because they have a moral guard in their heart that says they shouldn't do it. Yeah. And Paul's response is, don't tell people who can't eat meat that they're supposed to eat meat. They should try to eat meat. Let them have that moral guard. And if you can do it, but don't gloat in that liberty to others.
Yeah.
And there is a moral guard that God's put in certain people. You don't want to cause your wife to go across that line. And I know it might seem like, well, there's nothing wrong with it. And that's true. But what it could happen adversely is that she does something, she gives into something that she believes is wrong. And it makes it easier for her to do that in the future.
Yep.
So it becomes easier for her to cross that line for something else that could be wrong. And what they end up becoming melded, because what's happening is you're crossing a line in your mind that the Holy Spirit has placed there, and it leaves room for you to do it in the future as well. And so I think that we really need to be really careful with that. I've known pastors who believe personally, and I completely disagree with this, that any body-altering substance shouldn't be consumed. So that includes Advil, Tylenol, coffee, Novocaine for when they got their teeth, you know, worked on.
Yeah.
And that's – I think it's kind of crazy. But they personally believe this, but they didn't hold anyone else to that. They didn't tell other people, hey, you shouldn't take Tylenol. Hey, you shouldn't drink coffee. They just held it personally. And it's – it wouldn't be my place to go to them and say, hey, that's a stupid thought. Just try some coffee. Just try it. I promise. It's not going to make you feel that crazy. Just try it. That's not fair, because I'm causing them to cross a line that God's placed in their heart.
Yeah.
And again, it becomes easier for them to let their guard down in other areas. So I would say if it's a decision your wife makes on her own to say, hey, I'm going to try this. This has gotten too bad. I want to give it a go. Awesome. But if not, I wouldn't try to convince her or force her to try it.
Amen.
Yeah,
dude. Thank you so much, buddy, calling in.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good day,
dude. I'll tell you what. My wife's grandfather was one of the greatest men I've ever met, like ever. Phenomenal pastor, and doctor recommend he have some wine. You know, he had heart problems, and man, as a minister, as a pastor, he would not. He refused. He had that check. And I was so frustrated then, because it was like, dude, like a doctor is telling you this would be good for your heart. And he ended up passing away. But he had that conviction. And I think I would have been more bummed if somebody had like convinced him, because he had a moral check, a moral guard. Like, he had discernment to say, as for me, like, I cannot partake in that, because of my conviction. And I do think there's this, it's scary, because I think as Christians, for those of us who believe we have, like, who have that liberty, if you will, in certain areas, we can come off as super D-baggy. Do you know what I mean? Like, we
seriously... What does that mean, Steve? What does that stand for?
Well, you know, you call me it all the time. we can come off as so arrogant just because we have these liberties. And then it's like, oh, you don't? Why not? And guys, we got to be concerned about that, because it's awful and it turns people off.
Yeah.
It really, really does.
Yep.
I know, I have some really good friends who can be really arrogant in certain things. And it's not even just in like drinking or weed. It could be in theology. It could be in like non-essentials that you're arguing.
Comic books.
Okay. What? Why you gotta just try and interject? Nate and I are having a grown-up conversation. You can see for comic book, you're way out of
this.
Get
back to it.
I'm just saying, we just need to be very, very careful.
I agree.
Like, what hills we die on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I only die on ant hills.
Such a dummy.
The price of food.
Hey, we've got another phone question, huh?
Oh, yeah. 338-3700 is Shock Therapy Live. Good morning.
Hello? Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Shelley.
Hi, Shelley.
Hello. This is my first time hearing you, and I wanted to tell the guys that I really enjoyed their energy today. I was having a blah day, and so I really, really enjoyed them waking me up and making me laugh.
Aw, thanks, Shelley.
I actually am at a kind of a low point, and I understand you don't really want a lot of theology, but I am disabled. It's really hard for me to get out, and I am struggling really bad. I don't believe in suicide, but I'm tired of living. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm just tired. Any suggestions? I'm actually already on an antidepressant with a booster. And,
you there, Shel?
I just really, I'm struggling. Yeah, I'm just struggling really bad.
Yeah, man, my heart breaks for you. I've got a lot of important people in my life who struggle with depression, who struggle with, that desire. I've known a lot of people in my life who have struggled with the desire to take their life, and I've known people who have taken their life. And a couple things come to mind. First of all, two stories come to mind. One, we were just talking about Paul, how he said some can eat meat, some can't eat meat. Paul had a similar desire that you have. He struggled with the desire to want to be in heaven and no longer living on this earth because of the pain that he experienced. And recognizing that heaven was a better place. As a matter of fact, he said to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he saw death as a gain, but living as Christ's will for his life. And I really believe that suicide comes to a place when we no longer trust God's sovereignty and God's plan and God's will for our life. Because God has
but
us on this
that,
earth.
That's what's really odd.
Yeah.
In my heart, I'm a Christian. I understand that he's in control.
Yeah.
But I'm exhausted. I'm at the point where I'm subsisting. I'm existing. And I don't believe in suicide. I don't.
Yeah.
So that's my frustration. How do I end this? You see what I'm saying? It's really frustrating.
Yeah, what you've got to get to, I can't tell you how to do this for your situation, but I can just tell you anyone who's in this situation has to be able to get to a place where they believe that what they're going through has a purpose larger than themselves, in the sense that it could help people and minister to people in a way that nothing else could. And what I mean by that is there's people who are going through pain and the pain that you're going through that I as a pastor can try to minister to them, but I can never minister to them to the place in which you could minister to them because you're going through what they're going through.
Okay.
So I as a pastor can talk to them and say, hey, you know, you need to hope in Christ. Hey, you need to cling to Christ. And it just comes to a certain point as just deaf words to them because it doesn't mean anything because I haven't experienced the pain that they're experiencing. But you going through what you're going through, the disability that you're going through, the depression that you're going through, the pain that you're going through, you have the opportunity to speak to them in a way that I never could because you've gone through that valley, and so you can help lead someone else through that valley. God's giving you a unique voice because of the pain that you're going through that he has not and, you know, might not ever give me that voice and that opportunity. So that's where this idea to live is Christ. By you living, you could lead others to Christ. By you living, you could help other people get through what you're going through. By you living, you could help other people not die and take their life because you have a unique voice into their life. So to live is Christ. To live is you're doing it because you realize Christ has a purpose through your pain. And you're not looking at life through the lens of pain. You're looking at life through the lens of purpose. You're looking at life through the lens of faith, believing that God has a purpose through that pain. When we begin to look at life through the lens of pain, it becomes really hard, even when we believe that suicide is wrong, even when we know the truth. When we look at life through the lens of pain, it becomes really hard to persevere. We've got to look at life through the lens of purpose. We've got to look at life through the realization that God can use our crazy, difficult circumstances for his glory and ultimately for his will.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to know. I don't want to let you go yet. I want to know for those, because I'm sure there are plenty of people listening who are here where you are or on their way down this road to where you currently are. I want to know how you got to be here because, as a believer, I'm serious.
I moved to New Mexico.
That's it? Literally, you moved to New Mexico?
I just know. I've been going. It's been a slow downhill slide since I moved here. Financially, physically, it's just been. I just feel like I'm swirling around the toilet bowl.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And like I said, disabled, pre-wheelchair. My doctor doesn't want to put me in a wheelchair yet because she doesn't want me to totally give up on my legs. But for me to crawl down my front steps and get in the car is difficult. You were talking about purpose, and that's where, see, I have faith. But no purpose. Husbandless, childless. I am the proud owner of four dogs. Thank God for them. They get me up every day. But because it's hard for me to get out, I have no sense of purpose. I have a few friends that check on me. But other than that, my life is pretty blah. I don't even own a TV. I have talk radio.
Now, let me ask you another question. What I mean by purpose is, if there was another person who was going through the exact same thing that you're going through right now, mm-hmm. who had the same disability, who had the same level of pain, who had the same experience, and they were able to talk to you and mm-hmm. give you encouragement and it were able to tell you how they have found purpose, how they have found strength in this situation, would that encourage you and help you in the situation that you're in?
Somewhat. I think it would.
So this is the idea. I think a lot of times as believers, when we get into situations, we look in the situation we're in is wanting some relief from that rather than looking at it through the lens of Christ and realizing that Christ has given us this situation so that we can be a relief to others who are in that situation. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way that you would find relief if you found somebody who was going through what you're going through to help you, God's given you a unique opportunity to voice to be able to minister to people who are in the situation that you're in, to be able to speak to those people that are in the situation that you're in. So that's what I mean by purpose in that, is he's giving you this opportunity okay. to speak to people that are
so
going...
In other words, I've been taken down for a reason.
But yeah, and I think...
There's always a reason.
Yeah, I agree. And what I mean by a reason is sometimes God doesn't take us down. Yeah. Sometimes, exactly. Like, we look at the life of Job. God didn't take Job mm-hmm. down. God allowed Job to be taken down and be
see,
put in
and
that
that's
situation.
One thing I do have. That word allow
yeah.
came to me 15 years ago, and that I understand.
Yeah. So you know? God might have allowed this to happen in your life, and what he might do is take the no that's been given to you and turn it into a yes for in another area. So
okay.
he can take this crazy situation that he's allowed to happen, and he can give you a hope through this situation. He can give you a hill to stand on through this situation. And that's what okay. you need to start praying for. And I found that a lot of times in my life, I'm praying for the wrong thing. I'm praying for deliverance. I'm praying to be removed from the situation. And God's answer to that has already been no. I mean, we look at Paul. Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and that's part of what caused him to despair of life and say to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and it said that he prayed multiple times that the Lord would take it away, and God didn't take it away. And I believe that a lot of times we pray the wrong prayers. We're praying for God to take it away, and God's saying, I've already told you I'm not going to take it away. And we need to pray the right prayers, and that prayer is to say, Lord, if you're not going to take this away, give me purpose through the pain. Give me an opportunity to use this
or
for your glory.
Show me your will, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of times the will of God is going to be already spelled out through Scripture, that the will of God is going to be that he wants us to make disciples of all men, that he wants us to go into the world, that he wants us so a lot of times his will is already revealed. We should take that step of faith into the will of God and say, okay, Lord, if your will is for me to deal with this for the rest of my life, then I'm mm-hmm. going to take an active step of faith to see how I can use this for your glory, and then yeah. trust that he's going to meet you there through that process.
Okay.
So many people are chiming in, offering prayers of support to you, and somebody just chimed in saying that they have a really good friend who is battling depression.
Mm-hmm.
And in their church there was a ministry, and they were going through some very severe depression, very similar. And she got out and began to feed the homeless with them at the church.
Yeah.
And getting out there, taking the focus off yourself, being able to somehow do something for others became such a huge blessing in her life that it turned everything around.
Mm.
So
yeah,
well,
Isaiah talks about that.
The one thing I really thought about doing, because I'm such a talker, And I have been, I'll be, in fact, my birthday's coming up too. It's the 18th.
Beautiful.
Right in yeah, between us. I wanted to go up to the VA because, see, for me to, I can't walk, I can't stand. So for me to be able to sit bedside at the VA and listen to a veteran.
I love that.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
great. I had thought about doing something like that. And let me also tell you this little analogy that I give. People who, I don't know whether they're Christians or not, or people that talk to me, just like, say, sitting in the doctor's office, and they start telling me their problems. My favorite analogy is Christianity is all about choice. And imagine you're in a bus, and you can pull the cord, and you can get off anywhere and experience anything, but God is still the bus driver.
It's good.
Mm.
And you know, this is a really what Steve just shared too about, you know, going out and feeding the homeless and doing those things. It's a really biblical principle. Isaiah 58:10, God's talking to the children of Israel, and the children of Israel are complaining of spiritual dryness. They're complaining about dryness in the land, that the land hasn't had water, and they're complaining to God about this situation they're in. And God's response to them in Isaiah 58:10 says, "If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom shall be as the noonday."
Mm.
When we take the situation we're given in, when we feel like we have nothing else to pour out, but we pour ourselves out for others, when we give ourselves to others, when we give what we have to other people, it's incredible how God in turn fills us up and how God gives us joy. And so that's why I say I think it's especially when we're in these situations that we feel like there's no hope, that we figured out, okay, I've got no hope, so how can I be a hope for someone else?
Yeah.
Or if you feel like you don't have much to give to begin with.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, when you don't feel like you have anything else to give but you keep giving, that's when God in turn gives you what you've been looking for and what you've been asking. Mm. And so you know, I would let that just be kind of like a motto of your life. When I have no hope, let me be hope for someone else.
Yeah.
When I have no joy, let me be joy for someone else. And so I think do that, number one. And then number two, it's really important that you get plugged into a small group at your church. And I say a small group at your church and not just get plugged into your church, because I think small groups are one of the most important things that the church has to offer, because it's true life-giving, gospel-centered community. So I think when you get plugged into a small group at your church, what you all of a sudden have is you have a group of people that want to walk through life with you, a group of people that want to help you, that want to encourage you, that want to strengthen you, and you get something that the normal church environment can't give you. Because a normal church environment just happens, you come to church, you can sit and worship, you know, listen to the teaching, then you leave. But a small group environment, you're living life with these people, you're seeing them throughout the week, you're talking about what you're going through, and they become that source of strength for you. You know, you said that you're not married and you don't really have a lot of people that are checking in on you. What a small group becomes is it kind of becomes your family. It becomes people who truly want to walk through life with you and care with you and help you deal with the pain that you're going through. And so I think it'd be really, really, really important for you to get plugged into a small group. Here at Calvary, we have groups we call Connect Groups, and they meet all across the city in different neighborhoods, different areas, different days of the week, different times. And I really believe they're one of the most important things next to Bible study and worship that the church can do.
Absolutely.
And so I think if you get plugged into one of those, you're going to get a lot of encouragement that you don't have right now. You're going to get a lot of people that are going to care for you and help you that you don't have right now. And I think that'll become a huge source of relief and a source of hope for you as well.
I think so too.
Shelly, we love you.
Yeah, so many people
love
are chiming in.
Too. You two maniacs.
Yeah.
have a good rest of the day.
You too. And right? So many people praying for you. And Sam chimed in to say that her mom works at the VA and they always need people to talk to the veterans. It's such a great idea. Somebody else encouraged you to check out a book called Hope Heals. It's about a couple named Jay and Catherine Wolf. They were just in they were at Fresh Life Church this
Montana.
Last weekend. Yeah, in Montana. The wife is disabled in a wheelchair and God completely used her in her trials and that's what
there
it's
you go.
All about.
What's that book
it's
name
called
again?
Hope Heals.
All right, do you get that?
Hope Heals.
I wrote it down. Okay. Yeah.
Hey Shelly, do you have email? Can you email us or text in?
I don't. I'm a dinosaur. I don't even know how to text.
That's okay. But
that's
just
okay.
Hey,
I'm proud to say I have a flip phone.
Totally
good
cool.
For you.
We
good
would
for
just
you.
Yeah, if the people are yeah, there are people chiming in wanting to know like whereabouts you live, because there are so many people who are like, "Hey, we can get you connected at this small yeah. group that, you know, so we have a few people immediately wanting to help. So.
Hey, you call us anytime, Shelly, in the morning, okay?
Absolutely.
Alrighty. Oh, all right. I will, guys.
All right. We love you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Love you, too. Take right. care. I appreciate you your help so
Absolutely.
Much.
God bless you.
Yeah, that was good, man. That was good stuff. It's Shock Therapy Live, 338-3700 if you'd like to call in, or you can text in at 585-LIVE.
You know, it's so funny because she calls in and she's just talking about purpose, and there's a lot of times, like, it doesn't, it, like, you hear her story and the fact that it's like, I'm disabled, I don't have a husband, I don't have a kid, I got dogs. And I think about, like, honestly, guys, being real, you know, I've got a wife, I've got three kids, I've got the dog, I've got the house, I've got a really, really rad job. But all of these things that we like aspire to have or to like, none of that's going to fulfill you, because I battle depression. I really do. And it's incredible because you have those God moments where someone can call in and reminds me that this is why we do what we do. Like, sure, we screw around. We act like idiots a lot. But I'm so thankful that God gives us the platform that we have to be able to share real life with other human beings, because it's one thing that is definitely lacking in a lot of areas. And so I'm stoked to be a part of this. And thanks to the Starmy, everybody chiming in right now who are like, hey, can we help her this? You know, like there's a She Ministries thing coming up. Can I, you know,
yeah,
like people
love
are,
that, man.
Yeah.
Starmy, you're amazing. So, you can stop holding my hand.
We've gotten this text three times already, and I want to, because it kind of like, it's definitely in line with what we've been talking about. Somebody said, Nate, I am stuck. I have gone through a series of tough things this past year and a half, and I gave up. I haven't pursued God. I was angry with him because there's been so much hurt in my life. How do I get back to that joy? How do I find the passion I once had? I feel so empty without God in my life, but I just can't find the drive through the turmoil. That really lines up with what we're talking about.
Man, you know, it's so funny because I probably would have shared with you the same verse that we just shared with Shelly.
Yeah.
And that's the Isaiah 58:10, that if you're complaining of spiritual dryness, because that's, again, that's what the children of Israel were complaining about, exactly what you're saying, spiritual dryness, a sense that God's no longer there. How do I get back? How do I get back? And we think, for some reason, we always think that, hey, if I'm in a place where I'm walking away from God, the thing I need to do is I need to just start getting back into church. And what we mean by that is, hey, I'm a dry plant. What I need to fill back up is I need someone to pour water on me. Hmm. So we try and we seek all these people around to say, hey, pour on me because I'm dry. Pour on me. When God says, no, the opposite is true. Hey, if you're complaining of dryness, pour yourself out. Because what happens, we're in a place where we feel like we're dry and we have no water left. If we pour the rest of the water that we have out to others, then what happens is God, in turn, it's incredible, he always pours himself back out into us.
Yeah.
He pours himself into us because we get that. What happens is we're a reminder of that first love. When we go out on the street, we minister, we evangelize, we feed the homeless, we get involved and we start serving. What happens when we serve, we're reminded of the first love and the passion that we had when we first came to Christ.
Yeah.
And God, in turn, pours himself out into us. When we see somebody give their life to Christ, when we see somebody conquer a huge hurdle in their life, or we see a person so thankful to have a meal, it inspires this God innate desire within us to want to do it more, to want to see it happen more. And so that's why God says, hey, if you complain about dryness, pour yourself up and I will cause your countenance to rise up like the noonday. I'll restore your joy. I'll restore your passion. And it's a promise from God. If you do this, this is a promise that he's made you. If you pour yourself out, he will pour into you.
Yeah.
So if you're in this place where you're walking away from God and you want to get back, man, I'd say the first thing to do, a lot of people have this idea, well, I just need to start getting back into church and eventually I'll get involved. No, get involved right away. Start serving. Find a place to serve. Find a place to pour yourself out and start going to church. And you're going to find that as you do that, God's going to just fill you up. He's going to pour into you and he's going to give you a joy that you have been missing for a long time.
We talk a lot about the gym here and how it definitely parallels your walk with God, you know, because this similar situation with Nate, he's having a tough time just getting back into it, finding the passion he once had. You know, he feels empty.
Is his name Nate?
I think he was saying,
I'm
Nate,
sorry.
I am stuck.
My bad.
Oh.
Sorry, don't know your name. But it's the same thing that I'm going through, and I think a lot of people go through with trying to get back in the gym or get healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's It's you have to get up off the couch and go. You have to get yourself to the gym and you have to put the work in. Just like we have to get up, we have to read our Bible, we have to take time to pray. We have to take that time to be with God.
Yeah.
You know, we can't expect it just to happen. It's not going to happen. But then, you know, I've lost like 10 pounds. I feel stoked. I'm ready to go back to the gym and hit it hard, you know? And you see those moments when you're walking with Christ, you see him just doing incredible things. And that's what keeps you going, man. Yep. You know, it inspires you to keep going. So you just got to get up and go.
Remember, Stormy chimed in back to Shelly and said, hey, please apply for Sun Van. They give rides all over Albuquerque. Like, ask your doctor. Sun Van.
Sun Van?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds, though, like she's able to get to her car still, because she said she goes down to her car.
That it's just difficult for her. But a few other people were like, dude, get that wheelchair. Like, don't be bound, you know, because it's like, well, we don't want to give up. But it's not giving up. That's giving you an option to get around, to move around, to, you know.
That's good.
So, anyways, man.
585 Live, if you'd like to text in, or 338-3700.
It's been a good show so far.
Yeah, we only have about 8 minutes left, so.
Oh, man. Okay. There were so many, but I'm like trying to get down here to the.
Again, your best bet's always to call, because we've had a lot of text questions, but we have obviously taken the phone calls first because they called in. So if you really, really want to get something answered, your best bet is always to call, because we will give priority to the phone calls.
It's so funny. And by funny, I not ha-ha funny, but it's very interesting that this morning, this was the very first one we got this morning before any of this show happened. Hey, Nate, I am so lost in life. I work job to job. I just can't seem to see what God wants from me in my life. My passion's radio and coaching, but those jobs are so hard in Albuquerque, and with no college degree, it makes it even harder. When will I know what God wants from me? What do I need to do? It's like all purpose this morning. It's all it's all identity. Go see Spider-Man Homecoming.
Well, one thing I want you to do is I want you to do a Bible word search. You can just do it on Google and search the Will of God Bible. Just search the Will of God.
Google it.
You're going to see a bunch of Bible verses that relate to God's will for your life. So when you say, what does God want me to do? Well, there's a lot of things God's already told you he wants you to do. There's a lot of Bible verses where God says, this is my will for your life. This is my will. This is my will. Read those and find what God's will generally is for you. And I really believe the path to God's specific will is through his general will. I think a lot of times Christians want to ask for God to give them his specific will for their life, but they're not following God's general will for their life. They're not following God's general will for what God wants them to be. And so they're putting the cart before the horse. So I think before we pray for God's specific will for our lives, we need to follow God's general will. We need to follow God's will for us as just Christians. What's his will for us as believers? To care for the sick and the needy, to care for the poor, to evangelize and go and spread the gospel, to bear one another's burdens. So there's a lot of ideas of the will of God that until we get involved in the general will, God's not going to reveal his specific will. And then I believe once we begin to operate within God's general will for our lives, I've always operated my life off of this mentality. When I graduated from high school, I had a pastor mentor tell me, Nate, do you want to know God's will for your life? And of course, any mentor who says that to you, you're thinking like you're going to have like a Yoda moment where he's going to like tell you exactly what to do. I'm like, yes, tell me, like thinking he's had a word from God. He says, here's God's will for your life. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then do whatever you want. And that's always, to this day, it's always just been like an aha moment. Yeah. Because what happens when we're operating according to God's principles in life, when we're truly loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we're putting him above everything else, the things we want to do will naturally be the things that God wants us to do. We don't have to wait for the secret moment of God to reveal, hey, take this job. We can just operate in this idea that if I'm loving God with my entire being, my heart, soul, and mind, then the things I want to do, the doors I want to go through will naturally be God's will for my life, because I'm operating within God's general will for my life already. Mm. When we're living our lives and one of those things is out of whack, when we're not operating in God's general will, when we're not operating in a place where we're loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, then we can make a decision and it could not be God's will for our life, because we could be doing it out of selfish ambition, out of motivation for something we want, out of a desire for fame or fortune, and we're not operating within a love and a submission to God. But when we're operating in that love and submission to God, when we're operating in the will of God, then we're going to naturally find God's specific will for life. It's just going to happen. It's going to fall at our front doorstep because we're just going to be operating in this place of submission to God. And so I think that's extremely important within our lives, is to operate in that way and then trust that God's going to reveal those things, not through some divine intervention, but just through the desires of our hearts. What Psalm says is that God will give you the desires of your heart. What that means isn't that God's going to give you what you want. It means that God's going to implant within you the desires he wants you to have. But he's only going to do that when you're operating in the general will of God.
It took a long time for me to get over that he's not actually going to give me a DeLorean. So I think I'm coming around to being okay with that.
That's good.
It's been a long time.
Somebody said the best advice I ever got about looking for God's will is, if you don't know what it is yet, do what's in front of you. Look for where you can fit into God's plan. And dive in. Huh. All right.
There you go.
Thanks, Darmy. Dude.
It's been a good show.
It's been great, man. You know, it's been really good. Purpose. For sure.
Is man.
Justin Bieber is on a Purpose tour right now. Is that my purpose, to go to that tour?
Yes. I would love to see that tour, actually.
Is it too late now to say sorry?
Man. Hashtag yes. Hashtag revelation. Hashtag.
Hashtag you can go and love yourself.
Okay. Dorothy Jeter chimed in and said, Jeter. I love you guys. I'm so proud of you and the love you show to people listening. I love my awesome son, Steve-O, so much. Proud mama. Betty chimed in earlier too.
What? But like, my mom? Been,
yeah, our moms are listening. Apparently,
wow,
love you, mom.
Good show for them to be listening.
You guys are pathetic.
They actually think that this is what we do all the time.
You guys live with your moms?
Yes. I love you.
I love you, mom. I can't wait to see you this weekend.
We didn't answer that question, did we? The guy who lives with his mom, or the tattoo guy?
Gosh,
yeah, there was a few we didn't get to.
There's a few, but it's been a good show. We've answered a lot of questions.
Well, somebody wanted to know, like, spiritually speaking, they're not Christians, nor they don't find themselves religious at all, but they did note that we all have tattoos. And we're curious how we reconcile that, because a lot of their Christian friends are like, you cannot have tattoos.
And yeah,
like, well, I mean,
we just all know we're going to hell.
My. That studio at Starry8.fm. CC Nate?
Oh, man, that's.
CC, what if they just CC'd Nate and expect them to come to me? CC Nate.
Can you guys answer this?
Somewhere in cyberspace, Nate.
Can you answer this in a minute and a half? Can
yeah, sure. Leviticus 19 is where you find the only mention in the entirety of Scripture, really, about, you know, tattoos, and it's markings of your body in honor of the dead. It says not to do that, but there's also like 147,000 other things that the
don't
Levitical
shave the sides
law,
of your beard.
Yeah, that was all Levitical law, and it was the ceremonial, the civil, and the moral. The moral being, hey, don't murder. Hey, maybe not commit adultery. Hey, don't, like, right? So it's those things that are moral. Those things, obviously, the moral law we keep. The civil law was like, hey, if your neighbor steals a cow, you get two cows. Hey, if your land is blah, 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 if your property, yada, yada, yada. Those were like civil laws. And then there were ceremonial that had to do with, at the time, the way that they worship. Hey, let no, you know, two linens on your clothing, not the sides of your face. Religiously, don't mark your body to honor the dead. All of these things. And so people will say tattoos are a sin. It says so right here. But that was speaking specifically to the Levite, that Levitical law right there. It was like ceremonial for their worship at the time.
Because they were doing like crazy things to their body.
So in context, right. In context, that's what it's speaking to. So if you're getting a tattoo in a ceremonial, weird, creepy, ritualistic kind of worshipy way, maybe don't do that.
But
yeah, let's
right here,
again, I want to read this passage in context.
Yeah.
So it's Leviticus 19, and really the thought starts in verse 26. You shall not eat any flesh with the blood in it. So no medium rare steaks, no medium steaks, only well done steaks.
Well, I'm out.
You shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes.
Oh.
You shall not round off the hair on your temples or mar the edges of your beard. So dudes, you guys better, you know, just keep those beards untrimmed.
Yeah.
All right.
Good there.
You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. Mm. I am the Lord.
Yeah.
So again, if you want to take the tattoo verse, awesome, but you got to take the whole rest of the thing. So you got to be just as pissed off at people who have untrimmed beards or have trimmed beards.
Two linens.
You got to be just as mad at people who eat those medium rare steaks. You better go to Ruth Chris and you better cry out and say, you guys are sinners. That pastor who's 250 pounds because he eats raw steaks all day, he's just as guilty as the guy with tattoos.
Yep.
So if you want to take it, awesome, but you got to take all of it. So hey, if you want to put yourself under the burden of Levitical law, be my guest, but you better live under all of it, because this is what the Bible says. If you're guilty of breaking one part of the law, you're guilty of all of the law.
Nice.
So that dude who eats that medium rare steak, you're just as bad as those guys who have the tattoos, because once you're guilty of one part, you're guilty of all of it. So I'm not going to live under the Levitical law.
I'm not
if
either.
You want to, go for it, my friend.
I will. Okay, just kidding. That was the joke. That was bad. Okay. All right, thank you. So
after this, you guys want to get a steak?
Though,
and,
like,
you guys want to get a steak and tattoos at the same time?
He doesn't have to worry about shaving the side of his head, though, because he has no hair. That's not fair.
Boom! Knighted! I'm out! See you guys tomorrow!
Okay, we're done. Thank you, Pastor Nate Isaac. Shock Therapy Live. Done. Over. Hit the podcast. It'll be up on demand here in a little bit. Star 88 app, or you can go to star88.fm. See you tomorrow.
That's all we got. There ain't no more.
That's right.
Time is tight. It's the end of the show.